ABM6.
In a world racked by mediocrity, two angry heroes from New Jersey have returned from 20 years of self-imposed exile. Their mission, to blaze a trail of freedom in defiance of all odds. Inexpensive surreal comedy is their weapon. Smiting the obsequious and vanquishing oppression is their calling. Their lives have reconverged at a time when the universe needs them most to make one final stand. They have been called so wildly pathetic as to be insane, branded ignorant of history and a host of other things, and found guilty of human rights violations. This is the story of a man named Brady, who was bringing up three boys of his own. Where Indian fights are colorful sights, and nobody takes a lickin'. Where Paleface and Redskin both turn chicken. Love, exciting, and new. Come aboard. We're expecting you. I don't actually know where I'm going with this. But they do. There's an exit ramp up ahead. Abandon reality. It's time for the Anything But Monday Show.
So you think I'm driving your car? Sing karaoke from my boss? Got my mind in the car. Don't forget to pick up the dough. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it's got to stop. Saturday, Sunday, I can't.
Okay, here we are again.
Welcome to the Anything But Monday Show.
And this is Mad Mike Masters on the mic, along with my partner and sidekick as always.
Frank Edward Nora, and you're my sidekick. Good evening.
We mix words. How are you, Frank?
Good evening, Mad Mike.
Well, today's going to be, I have a feeling that tonight's show is going to be the best show. This is show number
six. The best show ever.
This is show number six. Yes. And I think, six is a great number.
It's a good one. It's one of the first 10, so, it's always good to have.
Yeah, and, when you think of six, you start thinking 666, you start thinking...
The number of the beast.
Yeah, I think we should dedicate this show to Satan. What do you think? We just dedicated the whole theme of the show will be about Satan, and how great Satan is, and what an awesome guy, what a good dude, and all the great things he's doing on the planet, and helping us out, and, he's the one responsible for us getting this show off the ground, right?
What?
Wasn't that the contract we signed?
I signed something. I don't know if it was from Satan. That's terrible.
Wait, actually, he said his name was Lou. His name was Lou.
Lou Cipher? I thought it was Lucifer. Oh, Lucifer. Man. I was thinking about Lucifer is an interesting name. Like a code, like a cipher, but it's Lucifer.
Yeah, well,
yeah, great.
Hopefully it doesn't mean it's going to cause too much trouble in the end. I hope not, but... But anyway,
well, if we like Lucifer, we'll score some points with the Illuminati at least.
true. That's the only reason why we did it.
Yeah. But anyway, can I just? I have to start off with something because this is very, yes, very important.
Yeah.
I've brought this device.
What is that device?
It's a very odd looking device, right?
Yeah.
This is my anti pickaxe field generator.
Yes.
Because as you know, you mentioned many shows ago that what did you say? You stabbed me in the back with a pickaxe?
I put a pickaxe through your spinal column on show number six.
Well, forewarned is forearmed.
Yes.
I have my anti-pickaxe field generator.
And there actually is a device here that I think that are actually an actual device.
I turn it on. There's a little red light.
I see it.
Okay. So
now you are impervious to pickaxes.
30-foot radius, actually. I know that's overkill. No pickaxes can come in. It only affects pickaxes, so that's my anti-pickaxe field generator. I am protected. I will survive tonight's show.
Frank, there's one thing you forgot to think about here and consider, that I obviously knew you already had that pickaxe generator, so I did not bring a pickaxe tonight. I bought a halberd.
A halberd.
As I told you.
Oh,
I
man.
You were forewarned when I told you about the halberd. What do you think I got the idea for making it the official weapon, medieval weapon, at the end of the Monday show? Because that was the weapon that I actually used back on show number six when I found out afterwards that you had the anti-pickaxe generator.
I may be able to tune this one, though.
to deflect all pole arms.
All pole arms, yeah.
And other slashing weapons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why do I feel we just ended into a Dungeons and Dragons game?
Yeah.
By talking about this.
That would be
the crossbow. Thank you. So
I'm protected. So I just want to say that. So,
but I actually just to be on the safe side, because I didn't want to, you know, come in here and be too violent this show. I actually bought a new candle.
Yeah.
As you know, I like bringing candles into the studio.
Yeah.
And this one is lavender that we're burning tonight. This soy wax candle we are burning with pure essential oils, and this one is calming and soothing.
Calming and soothing.
So I was hoping that perhaps it would take the bit of the asshole hedge off of me for the show, and I'll be a little more calming and soothing, because I seem to be the one who always gets the bad rap on the show.
Yes.
So
people are quite outraged by your shenanigans on the show.
Why does everybody like you? Why are you the good guy all the time? How did it always work out that way? I don't understand. Even all those years ago, it was the same thing.
You're just a naturally likable person, and you're not.
and you're just naturally despicable. Thank you, Frank.
Yes.
I'm glad you covered that.
Yes. Now, very exciting. We have our shirts on.
Yes.
The official Anything But Monday Show shirts.
And the front of the shirt has on my famous slogan that I have to take full credit for, that I created, that I'm going to trademark this slogan. When we trademarked everything, I did not trademark this slogan yet.
You have to trademark it, man.
For the extra few $100 it's going to cost, the slogan of the new millennium, you know, which will be the new slogan everybody's going to be using, the hot slogan, as soon as PodCamp hits, of course, will be Abandon Reality. And if you look on the site and you see the picture, you will see that this great boycott font that Frank had located, it's going to be up there, and it's a really cool shirt. I mean, the shirts are high quality. The font is awesome. You'd want to wear this shirt even if you want to listen to the show. It's not nice a shirt. So on the front, it has Abandoned Reality. On the back, it has the beautiful logo that Frank designed. Right, Frank?
Yeah.
And it's definitely a good publicity thing for us. Definitely some good marketing for us as well, too. We will actually be basically raffling a couple of these off. Or no, not raffle. We don't use the word raffle in the state of New Jersey. Otherwise, certain people come show up at your door. But we will actually be, having a little contest to give them away. You know, a little fun play-at-home kind of contest, which you will have to, for our listeners, probably only the premium listeners, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Only the premium listeners are going to get a little shot at this, but we are actually going to give you a shot of these beautiful shirts. We have a couple little games lined up that we'll do throughout the course of the show, and if you log on, come up with the answers correctly, you will get one of these beautiful shirts.
So we're doing this. We're doing this now. When are we doing this contest?
Right now. This during the course of the show.
Okay.
You know, I have to say
the shirts look great. I'm really like I'm looking at you there wearing it. It looks that the boycott font. I know we mentioned it to that T-shirt guy, one of the earlier episodes, mm-hmm. way back when. That is a great looking shirt. Look at that. The boycott font is great.
Came out great.
Has ABM show on there. Abandoned Reality, and on the back, of course, our great logo. So
if you are listening and you are out there, we'd encourage you, if you are local, you know, anywhere within like a 500-mile radius of Manhattan, somewhere on or about April 6th of this year, you definitely should come down to the pod camp.
Yeah, April 6th is a Friday. It's going to be that evening. There's some sort of an event, but the main thing is
April 7th.
It's the 7th, which is a Saturday, coming up in about 2 weeks, right? A little less than 2 weeks.
Right.
And it's a free event. Go to podcampnyc.org, I believe
it is.
Right. And you'll find out where it is. And we will have basically a booth set up. And you can come and meet us.
It's going to be a very festive booth.
Get some t-shirts, maybe. Who knows?
You'll be able to find us very easily, because we'll be the only booth where everybody is totally naked.
Yeah.
But that's what the shirts are for.
Yeah.
Right? If you come by naked, you get a shirt. How about that?
Yeah, are we going to get through this thing without getting kicked out? You think are they going to be like uptight people at this event?
If I had a magic eight ball right now and I was shaking it would say answer fuzzy, ask again later.
Because we always wind up we go in with the best of intentions and something always goes wrong.
But you know,
we get on someone's bad side and
just to let you know, as Frank is apt to do, there'll always be some secret recording going on. So we will be recording the night of the cocktail hour. You know, and we've been to many of these, and they always, of course, something always comes up there.
Yeah.
And we'll also be recording the day of the pod camp when people are stopping by the booth. So I'm sure there'll be tons of great material that's going to come out of that. So we will definitely be getting some great audio out of that. So I'm sure we'll create some mischief.
It's absolutely. Kind of I mean, it's going to be an interesting event, and I'm very much looking forward to it. It's going to be quite interesting. I met a couple of people that are going to be there the other night at the podcast meetup. So
yes.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
A heck of a lot of fun. So these shirts are great. Everything is great.
So let me ask you something here. Just because you're not here all week long, but I am.
Here in the sense of in the studio?
You know, a secret hideout that we have here.
Yes, our secret hideout in New Jersey.
Yes, that no one knows about where we're located and we broadcast the show from. But, you know, it happens to have something to do with where my offices are. I have a special vault that's kind of secluded away. No one knows it's here. We have the whole studio set up in here. So I come in just for fun.
Yeah.
The other day, I hear a bit of a ruckus. Behind the door here, you know, just a little bit of a ruckus. So I'm like, well, I wasn't sure I was not quite hearing this or whatever.
You heard something inside here?
So I said, let me open the door.
There shouldn't really be anything.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking exactly. You know, how would there be somebody in this 8x8, 10x8 space, whatever the heck it is, right?
Because it's locked. We usually lock it, right? It's locked.
Because I intended to come by here to drop off a key for you.
Yeah.
You know, so you get into the building.
Yeah.
And really, I walk in there and God help me, this place is an absolute mess. All right.
Really?
I mean, the place is trash and it smells like an acrid combination of stale sweat, urine, and wet fur. Okay. With the unmistakable bouquet of blood. So my first logical thought is either like gremlins, right?
Yeah.
Or those pesky goblins from the movie Labyrinth. It was one of those two things. That's my first inclination. I think right away, whenever I have that scenario happen, first thing I think of, A, gremlins.
Gremlins, of course.
B, those pesky goblins from the movie Labyrinth.
Yeah.
You remember that movie, right?
Of course. David Bowie.
Right. And Jennifer Connelly.
Jennifer Connelly when she was about 12.
Before she got like, you know, a rod up her ass and became unfun.
Yeah, she's not fun anymore.
She's not fun anymore.
She was fun back then, though.
Yeah, exactly. Especially when Bowie was jumping her at the age of 12.
Yeah.
That's another story entirely. That's unsubstantiated, by the way. But anyway. But upon closer observation, I find this note taped to my computer. And this is what the note reads. Ready?
Yeah.
Dear Mike and Frank, our apologies for the mess. Regards, Ninja and Giant Badger.
Ninja and Giant Badger.
So, you know, you realize what this means, right? Somehow you managed to leave the dimensional door open again after we just had this discussion like a week ago. Now, thanks to you, we have ninjas and giant badgers using our studio for Lord knows what. All right. So I'm supposed to trust you with the key to the office. If you can't close that door, you know, what made you think you're going to close that door? So explain this to me.
Well, you know, I thought I had turned it off, but it has a timer on it. You know, our technology is somewhat pieced together. You know, so I actually, you know,
Frank is about to explain.
No, I mean,
the technology problem behind our dimensional door. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah. I mean, dimensional doorways are, I mean, one of the problems is it doesn't take the regular, like in Europe, you can't use the same plug.
Right.
It doesn't take the same plug. So we had this whole thing set up to try to adjust the power. Right.
Yeah.
So that thing, it takes like 15 minutes to warm up and then 15 minutes to whatever. So when I thought I turned it off, of course, it's not off yet because the other thing has to go off. But the thing is, as a timing mechanism, right?
Mm-hmm.
I actually, because a lot of stuff's pieced together, I took one of those coffee makers, like an old Mr. Coffee that has the thing where you time it.
You rigged the Mr. Coffee?
Yes.
Dimensional door.
Yeah. So you know how it's like you can make your coffee at 8 a.m., your coffee maker starts going, right?
Yeah.
So we had to put that on the door because sometimes, for example, we want to open the door, but we don't want to be in here at that point, right? Because us from the other dimension will be coming in to do the other show, right? So we can't see our other selves. So I'll set the timer, 10 minutes, then we'll run away, lock the doors, the other us will come in.
Right.
Right? If we meet each other, it's not good. It'll cause a reality blam. So unfortunately, I guess the timer was left on because the power converter was still going. I thought it was still powered up. I thought it was going off. So I'm sorry about that.
Motherfucking pain of fucking ass.
Now look. That's why I was thinking it was the other us that was causing the problem, but I guess it was tuned to another reality.
Yeah, I cleaned it all up, and you know, that was great. But at least they were polite. You know, it's not often that a ninja and giant badger leave a note. You know,
how many other us is there? There's like four other shows going on in here, right?
At least
because we're sharing the same equipment. That's the thing. You know, obviously this equipment costs a lot of money, and the versions of us and other close by realities, they're like, look, can we use this equipment? We want to do a show in our world too, right? Just slightly different versions of us, you know.
But we had the mass murderer version of myself here last week.
Yeah, like that mass murderer and
right. the clone version of me. You know,
me when I'm a senator from Maryland at that point. You know,
right. Okay.
And I have to fly up on my jet every week to do the show. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it boggles my mind that I think that one diverged when I was six. Some event happened when I was 6 years old back in whatever year that was, the 1974 or something.
Yeah.
That I became a senator, the senior senator from Maryland.
Who was that?
That was me.
Yeah, who was his name? What was his name?
No, Frank Edward Nora, the senior senator from Maryland.
Was it?
United States Senator.
Huh. I did not know that.
Yeah, but that just in that other reality is not in this one.
Oh.
I don't know what event happened that led me down that path. I guess we moved to Maryland, first of all, and somehow I became much more responsible and much less insane, and I probably entered politics. So
what are we supposed to do about this fact that you messed up the studio?
I would suggest something in the way of an apology.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I took care of it, so let's just make sure that, you know, for the future, all right?
I'll make sure. I'll wait to 15 minutes to make sure it's
right,
off.
But here's another thing that they true story. You know, I could not believe this is New Jersey. Of course, everybody knows New Jersey is like, you know, you think of New Jersey, you think of highways, you think of roads, you think of traffic, whatever.
Yes.
Driving into work the other day.
Yeah.
And I think last time I was telling you about this whole, you know, police procession that was going through and holding me up and made everything delaying me. Right.
Yeah. It's like the police state is slowly forming.
Right. So the next day I say, let me take a back route. Let me go a different way. Take a side road, avoid some of this traffic. Right.
Yeah.
I get to the bottom of a hill and in the middle. And as I'm approaching the bottom of the hill, there's obviously a bird in the road. Now you notice that you've had this thing. There's like a bird and you think they're always going to fly off as you get closer.
Oh, yeah. Like a live bird. I thought you meant a dead one. No, like a live
bird. There's a live bird in the road, right?
Somehow they know, they have a sense, they see the car coming, and they'll wait till the last second, but they'll fly away. Yeah.
Exactly. And they somehow time it just perfectly, whatever. So as I'm getting, and so from far away, it looks like there's a small bird.
Is this a heron or an egret, or is this more like a starling? Like, what kind of bird is this? Wait,
let me get there.
Yeah.
So from far away, it looks like there's a small bird in the road.
Yeah.
But as I get closer, this bird is getting bigger and bigger, right?
Yeah.
And I get closer to it and I stop, right?
Yeah.
And I noticed this bird, there's like over the shoulder, there's a crow.
Yeah.
You know, and this is like the New Jersey crows.
Yeah, they're very large.
They're the size of small hogs. They're big, right?
Very large birds.
So they're sitting there. He's sitting over to one side watching from a distance because this other bird is in the middle of the road tearing the flesh off of some dead animal, okay, in the road, right?
Yeah.
And I'm looking. I was like, is that a hawk? And I'm looking. All of a sudden, the head comes up, and it's a vulture.
A vulture. Yeah, there's vultures.
Dude, I swear to God, it was like a vulture.
Yeah.
And the thing looks up at me in the car, not even moving. It's like fuck you, I'm a vulture, that kind of thing. Goes back to ripping the flesh of this raccoon or whatever's in the road. I'm like, what am I going to do? You know? So finally, I just kind of floored it and plowed right ahead, and the thing moved. But, you know. But there was
there are vultures in New Jersey.
I didn't know that.
No, at my parents' house, they live a little bit, you know, sort of in central New Jersey.
Yeah.
We saw vultures one day. I'm like, why are there, they said there's vultures
here.
It's
like buzzards, right? Yeah. That's like, these are the people that feed on like dead carcasses.
Yeah, like carrion. Yeah.
You know, and like, there's a vulture in the road.
It's insane.
Of all things. Holding me up, of course.
Yeah, there's a lot of wildlife in New Jersey you wouldn't know about, you know?
Well, name some others.
Oh, like the herons and egrets you see over in the swamps out there in the Meadowlands, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why don't we have any here?
Why don't we have herons and egrets in our studio?
Yeah.
I just got over talking about badgers and what the problems they cause. You're going to have herons and egrets here?
What we should do is we should put a label on each one, because how can you never know the difference between a heron and an egret.
Right.
So we'll just write egret on one and heron on the other.
We'll write on the birds, actually.
Yeah, with Sharpie or something.
That's fine.
Let me write that down. Heron, egret.
Maybe we should differentiation. Maybe we should just do that at the service of the state.
Now, if I go to Petco, they're going to have those there, you think?
What, Sharpies to write on herons and egrets?
I want to buy the heron there.
You want to buy a heron at Petco?
Petco, yeah.
I don't think Petco carries herons.
Excuse me. Heron equals pet. Petco is the pet company.
Yeah, all right. All right. Perhaps.
All right. So I'll head over there.
But they should have an exotic species section. You know, they never have any good animals.
They
never know if they have any good animals at the pet store ever. You know?
No.
We should go into a pet store and videotape and audio it. Like, could you please, I'd like to get a water buffalo. Could you get me a water buffalo? And
they just don't have them.
You know, they don't have water buffaloes. They get nothing good, you know?
No, just fish and, like, the lizards are, like, the most exotic thing they have.
Yeah. What about when it starts raining, like, animals?
Yeah.
Do the pet stores collect it up when it's, like, raining cats and dogs, for instance, right?
Yeah.
Do the pet stores go out and have some kind of way to, like, collect all the animals that are falling from the sky when that happens? And when it's raining really badly, otherwise,
it's against the law.
Do worse things happen? Like it's walrusing out. It's like it's really bad when it's like walrusing or rhinoing or sperm whaling.
Yeah.
Like if it's that out, it's like that's really bad. Can you imagine that really happened? Like you're walking along, shit, it's walrusing out. Gigantic walrus is coming down and splashing out everything.
It could happen.
Can you imagine that?
It's just like the hurricanes. They suck them up out of the water, and that's how it all happens. You know, like the rain of frogs, the rain of water. It happens that way.
Yeah,
yeah.
One of the plagues. Plagues coming soon. So is something you know about that I don't know? Well, since we are dedicating the show to Satan, why don't we give Satan a call? What is his number?
I don't know. 666666.
Wasn't there a movie where they actually dialed and called Satan or something like that? It was a bad 70s movie. Was that Evil Speak? Was that on that? I was bringing that up last week too, but it was
Evil
like
Speak. I don't know.
You know that movie?
No, I don't really remember Evil Speak.
I talked about that movie last week. We should have. What are the chances that Evil Speak as a reference will come up twice and back to back shows? But it was like movie was like, you know, one of those horror flicks. You know, the guy was involved with his computer, and you know what I'm talking about. Like, that's when computers are really like, you know, thought of as like, you know.
I'm trying to find it. There's nothing on YouTube of Evil. Was it two words?
Evil Speak. I think it was one word, but you know, it's not that important.
All right. So anyway, we have some exciting news.
What else? What are exciting news do we have?
We have some Skype messages.
We do.
People left messages. Finally, yes.
Finally. And just a reminder, on the premium side today, Frank and I will be choosing a race, religion, or other ethnic group to genocide. So you don't want to miss this. It should be a hoot. It should be a hoot. So, Frank, you have any preferences, or do you have to pick it? There hasn't been a good genocide in a long time. You got correct?
Cockatrices. Oh, wait. That's a net hack. I'm sorry. You have a scroll of genocide. What kind of... All right. A few people got that one.
Like three. Like me and you. Play that game.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you have any preferences, Frank, let me know.
Okay.
All right? So, go ahead.
All right. So, anyway.
Can you genocide Republicans?
No.
That's not... Shit. All right. Go ahead.
So, yes, we asked people to leave messages on our Skype, our phone system. The number, the regular phone number is... 973-685-6400, or you can just go to ABM Show, one word, on Skype.
Right.
And we have a few messages.
So we have not listened to these messages yet.
Absolutely, we have not listened to these messages.
We have no idea what's going to come out once you click on these messages.
I have no idea. We know who the first one is from, but the other ones are unknown. Okay. So here we go. You ready to listen to the first one?
I'm ready to listen to the first one.
Here we go.
Hi, it's Neil here from IntoHate.com. I'm sorry I missed your call at 3:30 this morning, our time. I'm guessing it's about 4 in the morning there at the moment, so I'm sure you're up and about and just about to go up shopping. So, I don't know, call me back when you get back from the toilet or wherever you are. And, yeah, bye.
There you go. Neil from Ireland from IntoYourHead.com, the podcast.
You know, when people do Irish accents, okay, they never sound like that.
That's a real Irish accent.
That is a real Irish accent.
That's an actual guy from Ireland.
Like, it's unintelligible. You can't understand what he's saying.
Hi, it's Neil here from IntoHate.com. Sorry I missed your call at 3:30 this morning, our time. I'm guessing it's about 4 in the morning there at the moment, so I'm sure
you're Neil is the first official message leaver.
About to go up shopping.
He's also our first official member.
Call me back.
Yeah, exactly. Neil is first in a lot of things.
Exactly.
And, yeah, bye.
So we'll give him another plug. IntoYourHead.com is his...
Is the podcast not worth paying for?
Yes, that's what he said.
According to his own admission.
So then the next three are from an unknown number.
Yeah, one's like 3 seconds. So it's probably a hang-up.
Let's see what the first one is. Here's a three-second one. All right, someone just hung up.
Yeah, okay.
The next one is 29 seconds. It was left yesterday. Let's see what the message is.
Okay.
Hi, Mr. Frank Norr. My name is Ashley Carte. I'm Congressman Tom Cole. I'm a national Republican.
I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Republican.
Satan, damn it.
About a press release or send out to you.
What? This happened last week, too.
Why are they tracking you down? How do they find
that? All right, so I guess this next one is one of these, too.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it's a message for Frank Norum. My name is Joseph Delp with Congressman Tom Cole.
What the hell? I'm not a Republican, damn it. I'm an independent. Frank, I'm a libertarian. I'm a libertarian.
Do you have something to remit, Frank, that I have to?
I'm a libertarian. I'm not a Republican anymore.
I think there's something we have to take care of.
I used to be a Republican, but I am now a libertarian.
I really don't think, Frank, that that's really acceptable to me that you are actually a Republican in here. I have a big problem with that.
So, I am not a Republican.
You know, I may have to...
All right, what are you doing? Do it already.
Do it. Shut up. Would you please?
All right.
Go on. Are we out of Skype messages?
We're out. That's it. That's horrible, right?
It's very like, you know, I have to remind you, by the way, I saw this card the other day, and I just want to let you know, Frank, be aware of this. I actually, I'm now a bounty hunter.
You're a real bounty hunter?
Actually, look, where it is.
Let me see.
I'm actually be a bounty hunter.
That's an actual bounty hunter card.
It's a 3-day certification.
Really?
All right. And all you got to do is you call this number and you become a bounty hunter. I said, what the hell? 3-day certification, $50. They give you a can of mace and you're a bounty hunter. You're off and running.
So really, so if we took that course, I'm 100% serious about this.
USRecoveryBureau.com.
No, but I'm saying, if we took that course, could we just call ourselves bounty hunters, but we wouldn't really have to hunt anyone?
Exactly. We could say we could get cars bounty hunter.
We could say the only bounty hunter podcasters out there, right?
I think we should do it.
We could do it.
It's 3 days for certification. Let's go find 3 days and become bounty hunters. We'll be the bounty hunter podcasters. Look at that! I swear to God. Watch a Fox 5 feature video on our website. USRecoveryBureau.com. Can you imagine? Okay, three days certification on weekends. Only 3 days for certification on weekends.
Great. Then you have like the 8 month waiting period in New Jersey to get.
This is what they give you. Leave with your badge and credentials. Okay,
great.
You get a badge and credentials, right?
Yeah.
And you are trained in bail enforcement, process serving, execution protection. Oh, excuse me, executive protection and repos. We can become repo men.
We can become repo. That would be great. Yeah.
This is like the perfect thing, man.
Exactly.
But who would want to do this? This is like the most. This is awesome. 3 days to become bounty hunter.
I want
to
do it.
Yep, I'm doing it. All right.
So after the break, a lot more great stuff is coming up. And of course, so we still have to get rid of the free listeners.
Let's do that quickly.
You want to do it now?
Yeah, let's get rid of them now.
All right. So if you are listening for free, this is the end of the road for you. You can go and sign up to the site to get the premium show, the complete show. And here we go.
And if you don't, what will we be missing on the other side?
I didn't do it right. Hold on.
More of my names, the people come up with me for the contests we have here. We're going to be going over our first official piece of mail.
We have the ABM insult of the week coming up. We have the piss poor movie trailers, analysis of many things, the amazing true life adventures of Mike and Frank.
I was talking about my organ
all sorts of stuff.
I was talking about my organ donation excursion.
Closing credits with all the funny different people that we say work on the show.
Our horoscope.
We're going all horoscope.
You're missing all of this.
All this. Look at all this great stuff coming up.
Okay.
Here we go. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
I forget what the proper sound effect was.
Goodbye, people.
That was it. That was it. Hold on. All right. That's the right one. All right. Ready? Three. Two. Goodbye, everyone. Goodbye. There you go.
I feel lighter already.
The free people are gone. All right.
Are we taking a break?
We're taking a break.
I'm coming right back.
We're going to be right back. Come on.
I shiver in the summer sun. I wished I killed her, but I'm too late. She's gone. I was crying inside myself, but now I'm laughing 'cause you're beside him. Dawn is gone so far away. She's lost her mind and now she's lost her way.
Dawn is We're back.
Right you.
What was that?
Start drinking heavily. Better listen to him. He's in pre-med.
Start drinking heavily.
Yeah.
We have to talk about drinking because there's a lot of great drinking. We touched on drinking a little bit last week because it was St. Patrick's Day the next day.
Yeah.
And probably the reason why Neil was up at 4 o'clock in the morning in Ireland.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's some really great stories that I thought about having involving alcohol that I had to bring up. And you had actually some audio.
Well, we have some audio from the past.
Of Frank's drunkenness that we have to listen to.
Now, remember, you know, when I was growing up, I was kind of nerdy. And I never drank a drop of alcohol until college.
Right.
Right? Not a drop. I had not a drop. I was very pure. And once I got into college, once you start in college with the drinking, you go a little bit it gets a little bit out of control.
Yeah.
And my first few months in college, I think it was like I was there a few weeks, and this girl, Noelle, gave me a beer, and it was my first drink ever.
Right.
You know, and so we got it kind of out of control, and on the floor we lived on, back at Drew University, there was a lot of people had a lot of vodka. I guess that was a drink of choice back then,
vodka
right?
Vodka was the in drink back then. Yeah, on the floor.
You would just sit there. Like people would keep it in their freezers on the little mini dorm fridges. Everyone had a little mini dorm fridge.
Yeah.
Where do you get those? Like everyone had them. You just like when you get there was like something.
They were like $99 back then.
Yeah, it was like a lot of money.
Now they're like $29 refrigerator. They've gone down in price.
That was like the ultimate thing. If you had your mini dorm fridge, you were all set.
Yeah.
And if people that didn't had it,
you know. stocked in my main dorm fridge. No, my fridge, all the ShopRite brand colas.
Yeah.
ShopRite brand soda. It was like 10, 5 for a dollar. Remember those? Yeah. You get those generic ShopRite scrunchy colas.
Yeah.
Or scrunchy, scrunchy the bear sodas. And I was like, oh, great. I had to bring them back from home, you know, and have those.
That was a situation back then, and I started with the beer. Then because I was kind of nerdy, the guys on the floor liked to try to get me drunk a couple times because it was funny to see Fen, because that was my name back then. See, I made a major mistake when I first came to college. I basically, you know, my name is Frank Edward Nora. Back then, I just went by Frank Nora, and I decided I wanted to have a new name. You talk about your new names. Mike has new names on the show. I wanted a new name. I thought it would be cool to be known as, for my initials, Frank Edward Nora, F-E-N. I thought it would be cool to be known as Fen.
Right.
And, of course, this was immediately was picked up. Everyone loves nicknames in college, so everyone called me Fen.
Right.
Just on that floor on the first year.
Right.
Now, I don't know. It wasn't really that bad of a name, I guess. I mean, what's a Fen? It's like a swamp, but
yeah.
You'll hear people calling me Fen in this clip.
Yeah.
So they're like, you know, let's get Fen drunk, you know. And this is a recording, about 2 minutes long. From, I believe it's November of 1985. This is probably around the time I met you, a month or two after I met you.
And I was not present in this one.
This is before Anything But Monday, right? There was no Anything But Monday yet. You were not here. This is a long time ago. And, of course, I had my great boombox that recorded in stereo.
Yeah. Right?
And so we were always recording everything back then.
Right.
So here is the recording. You're going to hear me drunk. I was really out of it at this point. I was really out of it.
It's going to be good.
And these guys are, like, abusing me. So check this one out. It's about 2 minutes long.
Are we going back to the past? Is there a sound effect?
Oh, I forgot about that. Yes, the back to the past sound effect. Here we go.
Nighttime in Walt Disney World. Nighttime at Walt Disney World Village.
I think it's Walt Disney World Village, not Walt Disney World Village.
November 20th, daytime. No, this is what, nighttime? Early morning.
Attaboy. Attaboy, Ben.
November 20th, early morning, 1985.
What's more vodka?
No. No more anything. No more anything.
What's that?
What?
Come here.
No.
Something's sticking out from your head.
Well, it's not.
Right?
No, wait a minute. Yeah, no, what is it? Is it
the white thing?
Oh, God.
There's no white things again in my hair.
Right there.
Where?
See yourself.
What was it?
It was just a piece of hair.
You had a gray hair.
I probably did. Probably all that stuff killed my hair.
When are you going to shave your face?
Tomorrow night.
You promise?
Babysitting. See, child care.
Are you going to shave your legs too, friend?
Child care. Yeah. Unique learning while playing developmental program.
You need to get a radio show.
You are recording me, you know.
Yeah.
I am going to get a radio show next semester.
Are you? What are you going to play, Laurie Anderson?
New unique learning while playing developmental program for children ages 2 and up. Is
children?
Available.
What's a children?
At the Kinder Care Children's Center.
How's children? At the Kinder Care. What the hell's a children?
Children.
It's one of those things, the green little
wine
you put on, like,
cooler children.
Wine cooler children?
Film developing Mickey Mouse Express. If you have film processed, you may
Fen,
pick
you're
up
wearing
film.
Women's pantyhose, man.
Milling develop.
Oh, shit, not again. I'm
at one of these following: Magic Inn and Polaroid Camera Center. Polynesian is news from civilization.
Civilization.
Polynesian is
take
news.
If Fed wilderness is
take
further
vendors
of Zebra, right. Fourth Disney World Village gifts and
things. Can you read something interesting to us? How about some X-Men?
No, I have something right here. Dragon Magazine.
Hey,
you are a
slop,
man.
No. All right, here we are back in the present now. There's a lot going on. I didn't realize
I'm not even on. I'm not even hearing myself.
You don't hear yourself?
Yeah, that's better.
There's a lot going on in that clip. We got to discuss this.
You were so fucked up. It's not even funny.
I was drunk. News from Silverlation.
This is the classic scene you see in most like movies like this, like those teen movies when they're picking on a poor hapless kid,
yeah,
who's never drank before, and it's just like poisoning the kid to death,
yeah,
and getting for great sport. That's what they're doing,
yeah.
And if you might have mentioned it, heard in that clip,
yeah.
And they touched on one of your musical tastes in college,
yeah.
But I actually wrote these down as something to bring up here. Laurie Anderson, they mention.
Here she is. Laurie Anderson. I loved Laurie Anderson. She rocks. She's the best.
This music was torture.
This was a hit song.
Torture.
This is called. Isn't this good?
No.
This was a hit song in England.
Yeah. Great. This is her. This is what I get to listen. This is what I got to listen to.
I play this on the radio a lot, right?
This is what Frank played in our room.
I ran this tape out. I mean, I wore this tape out.
This is what Frank plays. All right, that's enough. He plays. Oh.
You don't like Laurie Anderson? Come on.
It's a parliamentary procedure. Don't fool around. You're serious.
Oh, John. This song is nine minutes long, by the way.
Point of parliamentary procedure.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Listen. You played Laurie. This is what Frank did to me. He plays. He plays Laurie Anderson.
Yeah.
Alan Parsons Project.
Oh, they're the best. Can I find that?
And Duran Duran.
Oh, of course.
I will never forget when Frank is singing Rio. My name is Rio, and he's like, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You know, I got to be kidding me. He's like, hey, Frank, you're never going to get any women to be interested in you if your musical taste consists of Laurie Anderson, Alan Parsons Project, and Duran Duran.
Those are some good bands.
These are the tapes that I had to listen to. It was like it was like worse torture than my sophomore year when the guy next to me was an REM fan.
Yeah.
And REM back then, first of all, REM's unlistenable. Unlistenable as it is.
I don't like REM.
I mean, it just mindless droning as far as I'm concerned. They had about two CDs at the time.
Yeah.
And Compact just came out. The guy played the same two CDs over and over, and he had that stereo right by my wall. All I heard was REM over and over and over. I wanted to kill him.
Rio! I love Duran Duran. Moving on the floor now, babe. You're a bird of paradise.
There you go. All right.
Yes.
Just please.
I love those bands. Alan Parsons Project. That's a great band.
No, they're not great bands.
Yes, they are. They're
not.
They're good.
They're not. But anyway, what else do you want to talk about what happened there with you with that whole college thing?
Well, as what I was reading from was one of these Walt Disney World guidebooks, because of course I've always been obsessed with Walt Disney World. So of course when I went to college, I brought my various Walt Disney World guidebooks, and I'm reading about the Polynesian Village Resort and all these different things. And if you notice, this literally, when this guy, I think that was this guy Carson, right?
Carson.
Yeah, this guy Carson. Carson was a funny guy. Like, he had a hammock in his room.
Yeah.
He used to smoke pipes, and he was trying to be like a sailor.
He was like a sailor. That's true. He looked like the captain from the Captain Tennille.
Yes.
He wore the hat. He had a sailor's hat. He was barefoot all the time.
Yeah.
With his pants rolled up at the bottom. He had a hammock. He didn't sleep in his bed. Right. He was in a hammock and had a pipe.
And he told me that when he went, before he came to college, he planned out this whole the sailor identity for himself.
Right, right.
He was not a sailor beforehand.
Right.
But he had he had the whole sailor thing going on. He had the pipe. He had like the Jamaican rum, whatever. He was like a pirate or a sailor or something. He developed a whole personality for himself.
Before he got there.
It was pretty funny. And he also was on the radio with us as well. Like, he had the show after us, right?
Yeah, he often didn't show up
and
for the show.
He never showed up, so we had to keep doing our show longer.
And we just did his show.
Yeah.
We just did his show.
Like,
yeah.
We always missed our classes because of this guy, Carson.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Whatever happened to Carson? Should I say his last name?
Carson Hanrahan.
Carson Hanrahan. Where are you today?
Yeah. Where are you today? Please call in. We'll wait.
Call Carson Hanrahan. Hello. But also, of course, it's like the guy Carson says it. He's like, Finn, you should get a radio show, right? This is before
I'm getting one.
I'm going to get one next semester. He's like, what are you going to play, Laurie Anderson? Yeah. That was, even back then, I knew I wanted to get a radio show. And that radio show turned out to be the Anything But Monday show way back.
There you go.
Man, November of 1985. That is such a freaking long, that's like 20.
Dude.
20.
20 years of making 20, 05. 22 like years, and a half, 22 years
like
ago.
21 and a half years ago. That's insane.
Right.
That is just insane, but that was a great clip. I really enjoyed hearing that. Yeah. I was very drunk.
Yeah, and that was about one vodka.
I don't know how much that was.
But anyway, speaking of drunkenness, all right, obviously, I have some great ones, because last week we were talking about drinking in honor of St. Patrick, the patron saint of leprechauns and drunkenness.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd share a few of my true stories involving too much drinking, which led to very bad things happening.
Yeah.
Okay, now, One of the stories, which is a classic story that if you were going to do a movie about our college life, you'd have to include, had to do with me on the rugby team.
Yeah.
Because if anybody knows about rugby, and if you're in Europe, of course, people know what rugby is. And if you're in like Australia, of course, you know what rugby is. Rugby is like Australian rules football, which is like, you know, rugby is basically kill the guy with the ball.
I know you were on a team and everything, and I never understood the whole rugby. I don't get it.
It was like 30 guys. It's like 15 guys on a team and one referee. Okay. Already, you know, there's trouble because you know what? It's like a mass mob scene. People are literally killing each other. Right. And one guy, you know, and it's supposed to be, rugby is known as the ruffian sport of gentlemen.
Yeah.
All right. So in other words, when you're on the field, you can murder each other. But afterwards, you're all best buddies.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to drink to excess with each other. Right.
Yeah.
So you refer to the referee as sir, and you would never swear at the referee. Or swear. But, you know, meanwhile, you could be under 30 guys and a guy with metal cleats could be ripping your flesh off your body and kill you. You know, basically, that's what it was like. So literally, I mean, it took me like after I had a rugby game, days to recover. I mean, I got shanghaied into rugby because I was walking along campus one day.
Yeah.
And some upperclassmen walked by. I'm a freshman this time. Oh, you're a big guy. You'd be great for rugby. I'm like, oh, yeah, all right. I guess, you know, you're happy someone just noticed you because you're a freshman, right?
Yeah.
And come on down to the field and whatever. Next thing I know, dude, it's like pile on the rabbit. I like 50 guys on my back. You know, in the middle of the field, it's like, oh, this is the sport, you know? So I was the only freshman playing rugby that year.
Really?
And then a couple guys went out after me. But really, I was the first freshman out there doing this whole kind. They had an A side, a B side. So I was playing the B side. But, you know, but I was actually, that's how I started. 4 years of rugby. And literally, I destroyed my spinal column because I to this day, it's never been right from the damage I took playing that sport. Because there's no gear. You have no helmets. There's no padding. This is truly, I mean, to tell you how rough the sport was, football players, schools that had football teams, on the off season, okay,
yeah,
the football players would come out to try to for play rugby, and they go crying off the field because they get the shit kicked out of themselves because there's no blocking. It's like purely you get your ass kicked, you know,
tackling, like what?
Yeah,
is it?
Yeah, it's like tackling. You can't tackle above the shoulders, but you can just basically, you know, you can't put a shoulder to somebody, but you can basically freaking like whale a guy, man, like and fucking throw him down, man. It was like really violent. Like, you know, this is the thing about rugby. You either got mildly injured or like severely injured, like critically injured. It wasn't like nothing in between, right?
Yeah.
So because like in rugby, like you see in football, a lot of the injuries are caused by the gear, helmets and pads and whatever it may be, and it's blocking. In rugby, there's no gear to really hurt you.
Yeah.
Okay. However, you're kind of exposed. You know, so you basically wear a cup and a mouthpiece. That's basically what you wear, and it's like ultimate fighting of today on a field.
I remember you wore like a striped. Everyone wears like striped shirts, the rugby shirts.
Well, hence the name rugby shirt, Frank. Oh. Like, yeah.
Okay.
So anyway,
everyone wears stripes?
No, I don't know. You know, you don't have to wear stripes, but it's a common theme. You know, you wear stripes. But so basically that was the whole thing with rugby. You know, I saw a guy lose his eye one time. I elbow in the eye. I popped out of his eyes, grabbing his eye.
His eye actually popped out.
Literally, he grabbed his eye. I didn't see it come out, but he's like holding his eye and blood's gushing out over his hand. And I remember one time I heard a snap, like a guy's like arm folded underneath him. You just heard the bone snap. You know, and stuff like that. I mean, just bad injuries. You know what I mean? But back to the drinking.
Yeah.
They have this thing called a third half. After the game is over, everybody drinks together. They sing these Irish or English pub drinking songs. Everybody drinks and whatever. So the thing is, when you take a road trip, you know, we have to charter a bus every time. And a lot of times we charter like a school, you know, we have the bus companies. The thing with bus companies was, they'd charter a bus to a rugby team once and never again. Because once they did that, you know, after what happened to the bus, they would never do it again. So, right? So we must have been on a third bus company, whatever. We had this big, you know, those big charter buses, right? When you got down a school bus, you know you were really hitting the bottom of the barrel, you know?
Yeah.
But we were at these charter buses. So we had this one guy, this charter bus. We go to, I don't know where we went. It was not someplace in Long Island or upstate New York. We went to play rugby. Game's over. He comes out, and we somehow coerced a bus driver to drink along with us, right? So this guy's like drinking, and he's drinking, and he just got shit-faced, man. He's like, he can't even walk. And I'm like, oh, shit, we got to go home. And it's like nighttime, right? So the guy obviously can't even drive the bus, no doubt about it. So we're like, how are we going to get home? So we leave the bus driver there, and one of the guys from the rugby team, one of the seniors, gets the keys and gets in the bus, pile on, and he drives the bus back, right? How we all didn't just die in some jackknife fiery wreck, I have no idea,
The guy that drove was kind of drunk, too?
Oh, absolutely, dude, absolutely. It had to be, right?
And there's like hours and hours of driving.
It's a couple-hour drive, at least, right? Yeah. So we finally get back, and it's like dark now, right?
Yeah.
So we get to the university, and this is like a really rural university. So a charter bus, unless you're a skilled bus driver who's not drunk, has no conceivable way they're ever going to make the turn to the university. No way, right? So, of course, the guy can't make the turn. He just overshoots the thing and drives the bus right up onto the front lawn of the university. Literally, the whole bus. Man. Like, I'm all drowsy in the back of the bus, and it's like you're... The whole bus, like, you're like, just jumped around because the bus left the road and drove up onto the grass. Okay, our practice was at the big grass lawn in front of the university. So, of course, we immediately all scatter. Like, we all pile on the bus and run in 50 different directions because we just, whatever, right? So, the next day, okay, the sun rises, of course. We're, of course, like, way, God, we didn't wake up. We're thinking, oh, my God, you know, they're going to find this bus. And, of course, what happens is security finds the bus.
Yeah.
Abandoned bus, which reeks of alcohol. We've been drinking on the bus the whole way back. So the bus, like, you open the door and the water, but beer poured down the steps. So we opened it up. Man. And this is abandoned bus. No bus driver to be found.
Oh, man.
What happened is they had to call a fucking one of those gigantic tow trucks to tow it off the freaking university, right? And so what happens is we all figure we're all expelled. We're screwed. You know, we drop, you know, whatever. What happens was, of all freak things, the bus company calls up the university.
Yeah.
And the guy at the bus company starts apologizing, I guess, to the deans or whatever, that, oh, we've had trouble with this guy before. He's had drinking problems before. So they apologized for the whole incident, saying it was horrible. Your kids had to drive the bus back by themselves. Meanwhile, we were responsible for taking a guy who's probably on the wagon, you know, and just got him to fall off the wagon and made him a drunk again, you know, for that whole scenario. So we somehow dodged that whole thing.
That's amazing.
With that whole bus thing. I don't know how we lived, but that was it. Actually, I just would have had a picture. I would love to have a video or a picture of that bus on the lawn.
That really is like something you would see in a movie, but it's totally
the bus
true.
On the front lawn. You wake up and there's a bus there.
Oh, man.
It's kind of like Animas when they found the dead horse in the guy's in his office, you know, and trying to get the off out of there. It was really, that was a true story. That the bus was actually there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was an awesome one. But, you know, should I share another drunken story with you, Frank, or do you want to go into something else?
We can do one more.
All right. All right. I will actually give the, this is a short story.
Yeah.
But it's actually, you like the other story, 100% true. And I wasn't involved in this. So I want to clarify this.
Yeah.
Because quite possibly a felony offense was involved in this whole scenario.
Yeah.
But I had this friend, one of the guys I worked with at the movie theater. Dave knows him quite well, our friend Steve.
Yeah.
And we all worked together. And the funny thing is, I'll never forget how he came to work in the theater. It was like it was a Saturday afternoon, and there's nothing going on a Saturday afternoon in the summer. And I'm standing at the front door, you know, and some squat Italian guy walks up, you know, bald and older guy walks to the front door and goes, hey, you looking to hire anybody? I'm just standing at the front door like... He's yelling it out from the steps. I'm like, well, maybe. We're always looking to hire ushers. Oh, you should hire my boy. He's a big guy. You know, plays football. You can use him. He'd be good here. Like, we needed a bouncer. It's not a bar. This is a movie theater.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So basically, he goes, all right. I said, whatever. So, you know, so he sends him to come over. And this guy shows up later on, his son. He's like Mr. GQ. You know, Mr. High School quarterback kind of guy.
Yeah.
You know, good looks and the whole thing like that. He shows up, you know, good shape and everything else like that. But he was a cool enough guy, so we hired a guy, right? But so it turns out one night this guy goes out with his football buddies, right?
Yeah.
And they're cruising around town, drinking in the car. You know, they're drinking, you know, they're drinking like glass out of glass beer bottles.
Yeah.
Driving around, hey, you know, whatever, having a great old time driving. And you know the old thing when you're driving and you have glass beer bottles, what do? You hurl them at road signs as you're going by.
Yeah.
So they come around this corner or whatever on the side street and they see a stop sign or some other kind of sign.
Yeah.
And Steve gets up out without looking.
Yeah.
Out of the sunroof or the window, and he heaves his freaking glass beer bottle, right?
Yeah.
At about 25 miles an hour, 30 miles an hour coming around a turn. And the bottle's like a missile. This bottle is going toward the sign, but it doesn't hit the sign, right?
Yeah.
It goes overshoots the sign, right? Where does this bottle end up? You look up in horror to see a guy in the middle of the night. For some inexplicable reason, he's on his front lawn, old guy.
Yeah.
And he's got his back toward this bottle that's coming his way, right? And he's surveying his front lawn very proudly. There's like a sprinkler going back and forth. And he must have been so proud. He must have been like planting sod all day or fertilizing the lawn, right? So it's like one of those slow motion moments, right? They're coming around the corner and they're seeing this bottle just go like a missile. And you couldn't have placed it any better. You hear a loud in the back of the guy's head. The bottle hits him right in the back of the head, in the noggin, right?
Yeah.
This guy, dude, is standing there standing with his hands on his hips. He goes down face first. No hands in front of him. The guy goes down. Boom.
Oh, my God.
And again, a puddle of water. Like, he's going out because the sprinkler's going on the grass. Sprawl, face down. Man. And they keep driving. Because they must have hit with that bottle about 20 miles. That bottle came in and clocked him in the head, and he goes down like a ton of bricks. So he's lying there in the water or in the grass, you know? So we don't know what happened, but, you know, Steve is so distraught for weeks, and then he told us the whole story. We're hysterical thinking just the sight of this guy. The poor guy minding his own business in the middle of the night, looking at his lawn, and a bottle cracks him in the skull out of nowhere, and he goes down, right? So he kept, for a week straight, he kept reading the obituaries. he had the town newspaper. He's reading to see man slain by errant bottle, you know? He's looking at any kind of story, any sign the guy was, like, alive, you know? He could have murdered the guy. They have no idea what happened to him. No idea to this day what happened to that guy.
Oh, there's no like, they didn't drive by and see the guy again.
No, they were so, he was so scared to death that they were going by. They were he looked back after the fact, like the bottle, you know, as he passed the sign, missed the sign, and he just sees this guy going down.
So someone could hear this, and this could be an unsolved mystery. Whoa, like, I almost fell out of my chair.
Yeah,
there.
Great.
So this is like an actual crime. did you say the guy's real name?
No, I didn't say the guy's real name, but you know.
So but you're also a criminal because listen, I'm not editing that out. You take responsibility for that.
Go ahead.
You held something back. That's obstruction of justice. You could go to jail for that.
I wasn't there. He just told me the story.
You should have told the police right away.
It could all have been made up, for all I know.
Well, you could go to jail. What would that would leave the show. You know, you'd have to call in from jail for 20 minutes every week. I mean,
I could go to jail for lots of things, you know, but we're not going to get into all those things on this show. Yeah. But that was actually a true story. I'll save other stories.
That's some great stuff. So
that was all true.
All right, we'll take a brief break here.
And then we're going to come back to what?
Find some music to play.
What are we going to come back to?
Oh, lots of great stuff. I have a couple updates for you.
All right, good. I got some updates for you too. Go ahead.
Here we go.
Giddy up. Yeah. I wanna be a cowboy, so I can have a cowbell.
Yeah. All right, we're back. What? Do it.
Don't you have homes?
All right.
There's a great song called Cowbell.
Bell.
Great.
Great.
You take drugs, Danny?
Every day.
Good.
All what's right. We have the translation. We have the translation.
Oh, what? From the...
I repeat, we have the translation.
How did you get that?
I got it.
How did you, you find it yourself? Or did Rule send it to us?
Rule sent it to me.
Oh, you personally?
Yes. Right. On last episode, some new names for Mad Mike Masters. One of them was this. Hold on. I had the sound down. Hold on a second. One of them was this.
Groene Grijpgrage Gezel.
Right? To tell you again, this is what your name was.
Groene Grijpgrage Gezel.
Yes.
He sounds like he's choking on something.
That's the actual words, and he says, Groene Grijpgrage Gezel.
Yeah.
So, Gruna means green, Gajaja means eager to snatch, eager to take away, and Griesel is a creep. So, he was calling you a green creep who is eager to snatch things away or something like that. He chose the words because they would be difficult for us to pronounce. So, you are the green snatching creep, okay?
What if I snatch this green bottle of whiskey?
Well, then you would be a...
Groene Grijpgrage Gezel.
Yes. You are the green snatching.
I'm glad I don't have to live in the Netherlands just because I want to speak that language.
It's a rough language, man. But it's kind of cool, though.
Ooh, go ahead.
I'm Dutch. I'm part Dutch.
You're not.
Yes, I am. I'm a quarter Dutch.
Yeah, quarter. Where are your wooden shoes?
Well,
huh? You got any pair of wooden shoes?
I lost them.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Here's the other name that he had for you.
Treuselende Tuin.
Right, we actually got that one pretty well. Yeah. He was impressed. Treuselende Tuin.
Right.
Treuselende Tuin.
And that just means. Treuselende means to dawdle, and tune is a name, so it's like dawdling tune. So you're the dawdling tune. You're like, you have Rule and Tune. These are like Dutch names.
Yeah. Well, so give me some of the, people have actually gone nuts with the whole renaming
the
me.
New name thing. Yes,
I have a whole load of them.
That I
got sent to me.
Really?
And I added a couple here. And it actually our first piece of mail that I want to share with you. Our actual first official piece of snail mail that came to the mailbox.
And what is that address again?
That address would be?
Yes.
Anything Monday Show, 759 Bloomfield Avenue, number 326, West Caldwell, New Jersey, 07006. We love getting mail. There is a thing called the Postal Service.
Yes.
It still does exist in this country.
Most countries actually still have a Postal Service.
Yes, including the United States.
Yeah.
So you can actually use that. You can actually write using a writing implement.
How much are stamps now? Like
$16, something like that.
It's a lot. But yeah, just write something down on a piece of paper.
Right.
Or you could print it out off of your computer.
Right.
Stick it in something called an envelope.
Right.
Put a stamp on it.
And I heard these envelopes are actually self-adhesive these days as well.
Right? No, you still got to lick them.
Yeah. No, some of these are self-adhesive.
Really?
Yeah.
I never liked that licking thing. I have to lick those envelopes. It almost tasted like I don't know.
If you really wanted to put a sinister plot, just put shit in the back of envelope, like in envelope glue.
Wasn't that one of the things, like the envelope companies were putting like LSD in
like,
there?
Like acid, on the envelope glue.
It was this whole like thing. I still feel weird. You know, you go to the bank and you want to deposit something, you still have to lick those damn envelopes. Yeah. Someone, it's like they're totally exposed.
No, some of those envelopes are like self sealing. You just stick them.
No, you distill the licking thing.
What kind of bank do you go to?
WaMu.
WaMu Bank. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So what do you have? So you have more names or you want to mail? What do we got?
I'm not in the mail, but there's actually a bunch of names that I have here.
Names. Remember, my name in college was Fenn. That didn't really work out, so I went back to Frank Edward Norris. So what is this? Actual piece of mail?
Actual
piece of mail from a listener? Is one of these like Republican? Oh, we're looking for a Republican. Is it something like that? Or is this real? No, I see. It says Anything But Monday Show.
Calm yourself, will you?
Okay.
Keep your pants on.
I'm very excited to see this. Look,
this is the actual piece of mail, and this is the mail. I'm going to read it verbatim. Frank has not known what this mail is, who this mail is from.
I don't know anything about it, actually.
Here it is. It's very interesting.
It's written...
Mike and Frank, I'm returning my ABM Vanguard card.
No, okay.
So that Mike can sign it. Frank, you bastard. No, I didn't say that.
Yeah.
I've been enjoying the shows and think they are getting better with each episode. Mike, based on some of the people you said, people claimed you resembled, I came up with a few new names for you.
Really? Okay,
so actually, these are the names. I brought them over
here. Now, who is this from? Can we say who this is from?
This is actually from Manny the Mailman.
Our good friend Manny the Mailman. Right. And in fact, a few weeks ago, we sent out the first Vanguard List mailing.
Yes.
And on a spur of the moment, I printed out a card with our pictures on it, and I figured, hey, my wife is going to mail it out the next day. I figured I would just sign it.
And being the selfish bastard you are, I couldn't sign the card, but I will have Frank officially pick a picture of me, Manny. This will be on the site.
Hold on. Here we go.
I will use my official black
Uniball picture of you,
pen, and I will officially sign this this for you, my Mad Mike Masters.
Hold on. I'm getting some pictures here of you signing it.
All right. Signature for you.
Hold on. All right. Let me get another picture. Can you sign it again for the picture? Oh, you already signed it.
I signed it. I'm not signing it twice, but there it is.
Here, I'm going to try to,
Mad Mike Masters, I signed it for you, Manny, and it will go back to you in pristine condition because Frank.
I figured that this was like on a Sunday night or whatever. I usually don't see Mad Mike during the week, so I figured better to send this stuff out. But I think that was a good idea that he actually
he sent it back, and now he's the only one to sign with both of us.
Yeah.
At this point, but anyway, these are some names he came up for me. He said based on some of the things people said I looked like in the past.
Yes.
Here's some ones that he came up with. First one he came up with was Ponch Ferrigno.
Ponch Ferrigno.
Obviously,
that's a good one.
That's what he came up with. Like, I guess it's a little bit Ponch from Chips, and also Lou Ferrigno's last name. Lou Danzano.
Lou Danzano?
Yeah, it's like Tony Danza and Mark Gastineau, guess, and Lou from Lou Ferrigno's with the Lou one in there.
Yeah.
And then he has Gaston Estrada. And Tony Stock Exchange. He comes up with
Tony Stock Exchange.
We also, Frank, included a new name for you.
Really? This is my gonna be first new name since Ben.
Also, a new name for you could be Aaron Spilling.
Aaron Spilling. That's true. I do spill things a lot.
And in response to all your catastrophes. You haven't told me your mishap of the week yet.
I don't think I have one this week.
Please. I'm sure you had a mishap of the week. Okay, Muttley.
This has been a pristine week.
A pristine week. But anyway, I have some other ones.
Yes, new names.
A few that I've come up with, a few that people have given me. Our program director, Dave Crum, he actually sent an email with a few updates and clarifications from last week's show that we have to get
should
to.
Should we do like bells and buzzers in case it's like a good one or a bad one?
You tell me if you like that. All right, here's the first one.
Okay.
This is a little bit out there, but yeah. I thought maybe this would be a good one.
Yeah.
Bombastic toast. Okay.
That's a good one.
How about this one? This is a little touch of Greek.
Yeah.
Okay. Yugo Schlangalos. Okay.
Yeah.
How about this one? This was a little different, but Gavin McLeod.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. This is good so far.
This is very chic. Very chic, kind of French Indochina-ish.
Yeah.
Chai latte.
Okay. That doesn't work for you.
All right. How about this one, Frank? back to the ethnic a little bit.
Yeah.
Federico Fagit. Okay. And this is, I thought this one would be a good name, a little bit of a supervillain flair.
Yeah.
Prickly Heat. My name would be Prickly Heat if I was like that. All right. That doesn't work for you. I just thought of this one on the way over here, a little bit of a kind of a redneck flair.
Yeah.
Poontang McQuiff.
That's a good one.
Poontang McQuiff. Anytime you put an MC behind some name,
yeah,
it makes it funny.
That's usually good.
Poontang McQuiff.
Yeah.
But anyway, those are some names. And then, our program director, Dave, basically wrote in and said, look, he wanted to clarify a couple of things. Here's some more names for you. But before I go any further with the names, on the Bachelor Party story, because he was actually there,
yeah,
he says, I can't believe you left out the part about when Kirk, which is a friend of mine that was there, was supposed to go look for Rich, and they said he went back to the strip joint for like 45 minutes. So we originally, if you remember, we originally congregated by the car, all of us.
Yeah.
We're going to go without him. And Kirk goes, well, I'll make one last look for him, right?
Yeah.
He just goes to the strip bar instead, disappears for an hour. So and we were pretty pissed at him for doing that. And also, the Arab guy in the cab had a notebook that said, this was the actual quote.
The actual quote from
Dave
this.
Remembers it. The quote that actually that Rich remembers seeing in the front seat of that religious
this
book.
This is from last episode, right?
Last episode.
Number 5.
So go back and listen to number 5.
Yeah.
And if you missed the Bachelor Party story, it's a classic.
You have to go back to number five. Absolutely.
But the actual notebook on the front seat of the Arab cab driver's...
The terror cab, yeah.
The terror cab read, quote, the blood of the American infidels will run red in the streets.
That's always reassuring to see that.
That's what he read in the front seat of the car.
Wow.
You know, so that was actually that. And he said some more alternate names for you. And you can buzz on these or not.
Here we go.
I don't know where he got these from. Nino Pandini. You know, Pandini's all right.
We'll do that.
Giuseppe Fafalone.
What else?
I don't know where he got this one from. I can't even say this one on the air. Shitstain McWipe. Shitstain McWipe. And the MC, man, it works.
Yeah.
You put MC in front of everything. It makes it funny.
Yeah.
Then going back to the one-namers. You know, just having one name, yeah. Fop.
I like that. Fop.
This means to me.
That's a good one.
Benny McCalla. I don't know Benny McCalla. I can't even pronounce his name. What is that? Well, you read that one where it says you.
Can you QB Odigenomium?
Eh, Odigenomium?
Yeah.
Enrico Q Cytoplasm. Joe Fadagich. And Abu Bika.
There you go. Most of them got through.
Abu Bika.
Yes.
Yes. Your hosts. We should just do that. Or we should have done our booth like that. Your host, Poontang McQuiff at Abu Bika. Yeah. Like, who the fuck are these people? Can you imagine they walk by the booth? We should make up name tags, you know, where just change them throughout the day. That might be a funny thing for the podcast. Just have
all the different names. Yeah,
just have different name tags which we just wear and just change. Hello. I am Abu Bika.
Abu Bika.
I am Poontang McQuiff.
Great.
I am Punk Centrifuge. We had to come up. We have to do those. What do you think? Would that be a good idea?
I think we could do that.
Do some name tags for the show and just keep rotating the name tags.
Why not?
You know. I think so. That'd be a good idea. But anyway, those are some.
But
names.
Our real names are on the big banner. We're going to be sitting next to a banner with the giant. Heads, Mike and Frank heads.
Yeah,
right.
The big blown up heads of ourselves.
They're gonna be like, you're not Punk Centrifuge. You're Mike.
Are you trying to tell me these kids are gonna be like totally like you know.
It's going to be cool. Like, we're going to be sitting there, and there's, like, a giant, like, a real professional sign with our heads on there. Yeah. Isn't that great?
Yeah. That's going to be real great.
It's wonderful.
Wonderful.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then we will come back.
To more fun things.
Oh, a lot more fun things. You know, it'll be great. Noise is therapy.
I can't wait to. They got to do like our, you know, our whole college movie. Someone's got to hear this show one day.
There really is a lot. Do for the a script movie.
Because
yeah,
it's like, I mean, you think about. I'm like, I've been hitting the Animal House soundboard a little bit tonight. But I think of this. This is a clip.
Yeah.
You know
who dumped a whole truckload of fizzies into the swimming?
This was us.
Who delivered the medical school cadavers to the alumni dinner? Every Halloween, the trees are filled with underwear. Every spring, the toilets explode.
You're talking about
Mike and Frank.
See, kids these days, I don't think can get away with as much stuff, right? Everyone's all hypersensitive about these things, like drunkenness and destroying things.
Right.
They're all like, everyone's going to get sued. I sue you. This kind of stuff.
Right.
Back then, it was like it's like a much more savage society in the 80s.
It was. You know, you could get away with anything at these parties. Now, like, everybody gets brought up on rape charges. I mean, immediately there's a party and alcohol's involved. Someone's crying rape.
The whole society was better back then.
Back then, you know? It was great, man. It was like all this kind of stuff going on at these parties.
Reaganomics, you know, like Reagan, and you know, the whole society was like all like greedy, and it was like none of this political. The political correctness was just starting.
Yeah,
but everyone was like all greedy and the yuppies, stock market, the yuppies, and you know,
it was like what was that guy's name? Morton Downey Jr. And it was like you know, doing his talk show, and it was like totally in your face, screaming and yelling, and you know, totally.
Yeah, that's before everyone became a bunch of wimps.
Yeah,
I know, I did.
Yeah. Damn straight, I did. Great. All of you became
great. Sorry. All right, so I have one update here.
Yeah, give me an update.
This is interesting. We've been following this every week. The girl group update.
Oh, God, no.
Every week I find more information,
Frank,
about this.
And now I think this is the time
to
do the overblown intro into our next feature.
Okay, the overblown intro. Hold on. I will get this. I'll get this. Hold on a second. Here we go.
The overblown intro into our next feature.
Here we go. Coming up.
Shockwaves around the world.
Okay, all right, let's play some tunes.
All right, it is time for the... Oh, wait a second.
When I grow up,
it's
I want
time
to understand this
on the Anything But Monday show.
Better human being because of it.
Who cares?
Roll the tape.
It's time. Okay, enough. That was the overblown intro to the girl group update.
What the hell was that last thing? Go ahead.
This is all the stuff you play on radio stations.
Yeah, right.
Girl group update. Yes.
I like the way he sounds.
Yeah, we have to do more of these sounds.
We promise. We will definitely get our soundboard stuffed down one of these
every
days.
Time we come here, we wind
talk
up
about that.
Yeah, we never get our soundboards together.
Frank, because we're so fixated on producing amazing content that we don't have time to fiddle with soundboards.
No time at all.
Right.
So anyway, the girl group update. Just to give you a little bit of a background. Wait, I have to turn my I had my crazy voice thing on.
All right, go ahead.
I like being louder than you.
Fine.
No, we can't hear you. We can only hear Frank.
La,
hello?
La, la, la,
la, la, la, la. We're not hearing you. All right, anyway, this is what we have. As you know, as we extensively talked about, the Anything But Monday show came into existence in, February of 1986, okay? So over 21 years ago.
Right.
We came up with a name. It's a very unique name, right? No one ever used Anything But Monday but us until
recently.
Yeah.
There's this supposed TV show called 30 Days Till I'm Famous that we can't tell. Is it going to come on the air? It was supposed to start last fall.
Right.
And Fox TV, like, set it aside, shelved it for whatever reason.
Right.
And yet, I keep scouring the internet for information on this because on this TV show, it's a reality drama type show.
Right.
About the rise of a band, a girl group, kind of like the Spice Girls, called Anything But Monday, right? Gosh. We've been talking about this every week, trying to find out information.
I just get sick every time I hear you say that.
Okay. And last week we talked about how on their website they took the trailer down where it's like there's a big logo, Anything But Monday, all these girls,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, okay.
This is our name and it's very annoying, but look at this. Here's the latest thing. Hot opportunities from the industry resource. Okay. Yeah. Network TV reality program looking for ballads. I'm assuming that means ballads.
Ballads, okay.
They're looking for Latin ballads. The deadline, May 25th, 2007. So this is current. Look.
Yeah.
30 Days Till I'm Famous, the TV series, primetime network TV docudrama starring newly signed Sony BMG female group Anything But Monday.
Oh, no.
Follows the ascension of the group to stardom. I need contemporary Latin pop and Spanish, both ballads and up-tempo, looking for that quote-unquote South Beach sound. Okay? They're procuring ballads in Spanish for Anything But Monday. And this is currently happening. So this is
stop this. This must stop.
I'm telling you, the showdown is going to come at some point.
I put the call out to people. Go out, find these women, track them down. Maybe, don't let it happen.
Maybe we should submit a ballad, though. That'd be awesome.
submitted
by Anything But Monday.
Yeah, I got a ballad for them. Here we
okay,
go.
Okay, what's your ballad?
I want to come up with a ballad. Let's see. Can we get a ballad?
A ballad for the girl group Anything But Monday.
Here's the ballad.
Sony BMG.
Here we go.
Yeah. Okay. What is it?
Love.
Oh, that's from our intro. Love, exciting and new.
Exciting and
this is the ballad. How about this? Do you like that?
I don't know where I'm going with this, but they do.
Can we put this in Spanish?
Cuando estás tú,
amor.
El amor, Pedro. Botera.
Amor, Pedro.
El amor, Pedro Botera.
I know a little bit of Spanish.
I simply speak Spanish a lot. But
yeah, sí. Muy español. El Botero, amor.
I forget what a boat is. Spanish.
Something like a kilo.
Can you imagine if they sing the Love Boat theme? Girl group.
So look at it. It drives me crazy. Every time I see this, we keep thinking that
it's going to go away.
The show was canceled. We thought the show was canceled. Fox Television obviously saw it. And from that trailer we saw, show looks horrible.
Frank, let them do it. let them get real big. Because you know what?
Sony. They're signed
by Sony. That's fine. When our lawyers send a letter to Sony, how they're violating our trademark, that's fine. We'll settle. You know, how about let's pick up a fee now. A few hundred thousand bucks. We'll settle for a few hundred thousand bucks.
Yeah.
And be our guests. We'll allow you.
Okay, here is the people at Sony opening our letter. Okay.
That's not true. They wouldn't. No. With the whole boardroom laughing.
No. Cease and desist notice from Anything But Monday Show LLC. The Sony lawyers.
It's coming from us. It's coming from. Excuse me. Do they have witches? Are there witches working at Sony?
They have witch lawyers.
Witch lawyers working at Sony.
Wicked lawyers, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So you don't think they'll laugh at our feeble lawsuit?
That's what they want. If we have a federally registered trademark, what are they going to say? They're not going to say that.
They all the judges are in their pockets. They're Sony. They're huge. They could crush us.
We'll win.
No, but I think we can coexist.
Yeah, or my ass.
And I just want to say
I want an apology for them.
I would suggest something in the way of an apology.
That's what I'm going to tell them.
I want to talk to Stephen Stone now, the creator of Anything But Monday. I think you were a very nice person, and your girls are all very nice.
Very sweet girls.
And, you know, maybe we can coexist.
A little trampy.
I don't know.
I think we should open up the poll again to rename the band like we did the first time.
Oh, yeah, that went over real big with my listeners on my other show.
But it was good, though. The names were good.
I think I lost a few listeners over.
Did not. There were a lot of
Cuntalicious.
what was the name of the band?
Yeah,
I had five. There was four bands. Right?
I deleted it off my message board because I was losing listeners like crazy.
That was not
the Overnightscape at theovernightscape.com.
Yeah, yeah.
I always got to give myself a plug on this show.
Good. Is it helping on your show, Frank? Are people coming over?
Yeah, it's doing good.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, I'm celebrating. Oh, on the Overnightscape, celebrating the Fourth anniversary tomorrow on Tuesday.
Is anybody coming over? How about more? What happened to like some people like Lord Col? The huge fans of us when we did the show and I did the show with you.
Eventually they will. They will come. They will come.
What are you doing to make that happen?
I mention it every day on my show.
Okay.
The current show that's out. I mentioned the abmshow.com. I always mention it.
Okay. Just check.
Of course, you know it's a different kind of a show and with a much massively larger audience.
Yeah. Right. Hypothetically, massively large audience. Yeah.
Yes. You I'm think. a dual podcaster here. But anyway, that was the girl group update. Oh wait, we have to do the extensive outro, right?
Do the yeah the over.
That was the girl group update.
Yeah.
Yes. There you go. That's your outro.
Yeah.
All right, so what else do we have here? We got a lot of stuff. What do we got? How about the insult of the week?
Well, the insult of the week? I have one. Do you have one?
No, I have one.
So I can't use mine? All right. I had to get one.
Well, I have. Well,
they can choose.
Who did it last week? We have to take turns.
I don't know who did it. So
this one was a real inspiration.
Okay.
I just thought of it. Here we go. The ABM insult of the week. Here we go.
Use this as much as you'd like.
This is like if you know how like you're in traffic and you get angry at someone or you just start like calling people names.
Right.
So well, yeah, you have to say like you have to you know like whatever a series of things. So here we go. Yeah. So just pretend that you're someone who just like cut me off in traffic. So do that sound effect.
I wasn't sound effect of me cutting you off in traffic.
Like I don't know, like the car swerving or something. Okay. Douchebird Celine Dion a-hole snorkel dump.
What the fuck was that?
Douchebird Celine Dion a-hole snorkel dump.
That's the best you can come up with?
Yes!
Who's going to remember that?
Douchebird Celine Dion a-hole snorkel dump.
Oh my God, that was terrible.
You don't like that one?
I like mine better.
All right, so we can do two insults of the week this week.
And we can choose.
All right.
Don't I get any kind of music or any kind of sound effect for my intro of my... Why did it take this... I thought you were going to give me the star music instead. here's the ABM insult of the week.
Yes.
Okay? Someone's really pissing you off, and they're going off on you, and they're yelling at you, and they're pissing you off, and they're just ranting and raving about in your face.
Yeah.
You calmly look at them and say, did anyone ever tell you that you and Rosie O'Donnell have a lot in common?
That's a good... All right.
That's a better one.
I'll give you that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you and Rosie O'Donnell have a lot in common?
You win this week.
Speaking of which...
Both our insults had female celebrities in them. I had Celine Dion and you had...
Rosie O'Donnell?
We did not plan this out.
This is unbelievable. Unbelievable.
That was like that whole Christina Ricci thing. I didn't realize she was in that movie, Black Snake Moan. You saw that?
Black Snake Moan?
Yeah.
Is that like some kind of porn flick?
No, it's like a... Samuel L. Jackson, like, chains her to a radiator or something. She's a blonde in that movie. But that came out right around the time...
What's a porn flick?
We both mentioned Christina Ricci in one show.
Yeah.
So it's sort of similar. No, it's not, I don't think it's porn.
What are the odds of mentioning Christina? It's amazing. We mentioned this. Women on the same thing. But
there's a lot of synchronicities going on in this show.
Just remember.
Yeah.
The insult of the week. Did anyone ever tell you that you and Rosie O'Donnell have a lot in common? So, but speaking of Rosie O'Donnell, I got to handle this. Because it's one of those things.
You don't like Rosie O'Donnell.
I want to snap. If I was a different person, I would go on a killing spree. Because every time I see this woman on this horrid show, and I got to handle it.
Was it Rosie? Like, what's her show?
Oh, no. It's worse than that.
Oh, The View?
It wasn't bad enough that she had that pumpkin head at her own show.
Yeah.
I mean, she's got nothing to say. You know, if you're Rosie O'Donnell, every time I look around now on the internet, she's got some kind of comment about somebody. Someone in American Idol, about Clay Aiken.
Antonella Barba.
Anybody. She's got some kind of...
From Point Pleasant, New Jersey, by the way.
Yeah, she's got some kind of basic, you know, comment about somebody.
Yeah.
If you're Rosie O'Donnell, should you be saying anything about anybody? What is your body of work consist of that you've accomplished in your life? Their greatest claim to fame, the only decent thing she did was in that movie with Madonna. What movie was that?
A League of Their Own?
League of Their Own. That was the only thing of any redeeming value she's ever done in her freaking life.
Yeah.
Right? And of course, she's very trendy.
How about the gay cruise?
What? What gay?
She does the gay cruise.
Great. She does the gay cruise. Yeah. Right. She's great. She's, again, another one of those celebrities.
Well, for gay people, she's good.
That's wonderful. You know, she adopts a bunch of kids. She's the man, and she's got the woman wife.
Yeah.
She's the man of the couple.
They're lesbians.
Yeah. Fine. But she's the guy, and she's the girl, whatever. Yeah. Same kind of thing with the Ellen thing.
Is that a Portia? That
whatever.
Girl? Yeah. No, that's Ellen's girlfriend.
It's Ellen's girlfriend.
Yeah, from Arrested Development. Yeah.
But again, this goes to show you. You know, this goes to show you.
Yeah.
You know what this is, what this woman's all about. I mean, she's why should you be criticizing people when you have that kind of lifestyle? How could you possibly be criticizing people and saying things about people? And to make things worse, I'm in a dental chair, and it's bad enough you're in a dental chair, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, and what's on the station? The View. Oh. And it's like, I'd rather have root canal than watch these women. You know, who are these women on The View? Let's review.
I don't really watch it. I'm at work at that time.
First of all, watch the show. You want to put your freaking foot through the television within 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Because first of all, it wasn't bad enough. Yeah, Barbara Walters. Okay, we'll leave that alone because she was dead 20 years ago. All right, and they revived her. I don't know what the hell what's animating that body right now.
Yeah.
You got Barbara Walters. Then you got Rosie O'Donnell. O'Donnell of all people. You're going to put on, that's a real intelligent person with something to say you want to have on your show. So you got those two. Then it gets all downhill after that. You know, this Joan, what's her name? Joyce or Joan Behar or whatever she is.
Joy Behar.
Joy Behar.
I found a clip of this show so we can hear what you're talking about.
I thought it would be really good if then they had a fifth tribe of one ethnicity of each group, but gays. Because the gay people always win on the reality.
Whatever.
Ugh. If I had a metal chair.
I thought it would be.
But as I do,
they are somewhat grating voices.
I'd have a show with it. They'd be all gays in the tribe. Whoa.
Yeah, it's like grating type voices.
It's amazing. You know, look, nothing against gays, but you watch the show Survivor.
Yeah.
They're the most grating people on the show all the time.
Well, they choose people who are like stereotypical of whatever they're trying to represent.
Why do that? You know, it's like the worst thing you could possibly do. You know, why can't you get a gay guy that surprisingly we find out at the end of the show?
Well, fact is that it's news all over the world. Yes. So, you know, you can imagine in China, it's like, ching chong, ching chong, ching chong, ching chong, Danny DeVito, ching chong, 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 chong.
Oh, she got told for that.
The View, ching chong.
Oh, hysterical. That's hysterical. Yeah. National television making fun of Chinese people like that.
Yeah.
Just like that. Ching chong, right?
Yeah.
Great. Beautiful. Now, get Joy Behar on there. Listen to that voice.
Let's see. Joy Behar. She used to be on the radio in New York, too.
I wonder why. They took her off the radio.
Yeah.
Listen to this voice.
Yeah, here you go. Here's Joy Behar.
Here, someone else want to kick in the head. Here, go listen.
Here we go.
By all means. All right. What do I have to say? Big news this week at, first of all, Time Magazine. Person of the Year. Congratulations, everyone.
That's Rosie, but Joy Behar's going to talk soon. This show is annoying.
Oh, God.
There, I want a face.
Yeah, well, there's a little mirror on there, and you can look at yourself. Do you know that? They sent it with a mirror, which I thought was funny.
Do you think anybody cares about it anymore, about the Time Magazine Person of the Year?
Well, they would if they put a person on there.
Who would you put?
I don't know.
You have to put like a Hitler type, like you put Donald Rumsfeld there or something.
Yeah.
Somebody who's like... Oh.
I want to kick her in the mouth. I can't stand
like,
it.
They're all like great. They are all.
And then
like,
then that capper is sitting there. Elizabeth Hasselhoff
or something.
Elizabeth Hasselback.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's her claim to fame. If we all remember, if you're a Survivor fan,
I don't remember.
She was Elizabeth Filarski from the first show. I think she was on the first Survivor.
Yeah.
Okay. And she was gonna design her own line of shoes.
Yeah.
She was gonna be real trendy and use her money to start her own little shoe company.
Yeah.
And design her own little trendy brand of shoes. You know. And then she married a very big time football quarterback, Matt Hasselbeck, who's a big quarterback in the NFL.
I don't know any of these people you're talking about.
Well, that's what's happened. Okay.
He's on the Colts.
I don't know what she.
No, I don't know.
The Colts. But anyway,
I was trying to fake it.
I think it's Seahawks. But anyway, she's on the show.
All right. Let's see if we can find
that
Hasselbeck.
Someone who could care what you have to say? You don't have a brain in your pinheaded head.
Yeah.
Now here, she's just so another grading. Could you find more grading women and put them together? If you thought like Star, you're like begging for Star Jones and like Lucy Liu to come back. I can't believe Lucy Liu was on the show at one time. You know, you're like praying to God, please bring them back. Give me Roseanne Barr. Bring her back like that. When you listen to these women. Listen to this, Elizabeth.
Overstock.com. I actually love that place. Now, even better. One of you has the chance to win.
It's always Rosie talking.
Sharp LC, 37-inch flat screen. Where's
Hasselbeck?
So Elizabeth Hasselbeck is the blonde chick.
$100. And can you believe this is how we're going to do it? We're going to put your...
Is Rosie like the head of the show? Like she's always talking?
Yeah, she's usurping the show.
I thought Barbara Walters was...
Yeah, where's...
You're going to win. You got to scream if you win.
Come on.
You got to scream. Oh, look at this.
Roll it.
The hell?
Oh my God!
I don't know. Forget it. I can't.
What I tell you, you cannot watch that show. Well, you cannot watch.
But they sit around like
I want to get tickets to the. You know what I want to do? This is what I want to do. I want some of our listeners to get tickets to that show and sit in that audience and then like pelt them with rocks and garbage at the right appropriate time. Like get rotten vegetables and fruit like the old days.
Yeah.
And like get a big loud taste of booze and catcalls.
Can I make the ultra obscure reference of the day?
What?
They pelted us with rocks and garbage.
Yeah, where's that from?
The David Letterman show. Yeah, remember? That, yes. Really,
yeah, right.
That was huge. That was his new...
Hey, that whole thing.
What do you want? Wicca?
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
No one remembers that, but me.
I remember that thing from the show, but whatever. But wouldn't you like to get like, I'd like to get like really like rotten, somehow smuggle in rotten vegetables and stuff like that, you know, and just play like loud booze and cat calls, like when at the appropriate time, you just pelt these women.
I don't know. I think they're very nice women and they should be respected. Here's a tribute to Elizabeth Hasselbeck. Oh, they're just pictures of her and
God.
Stuff. It's not her talking.
What a nuisance.
She looks like a very nice person.
Yeah, oh, she's so sprite. She's so sprite.
She's spunky. She's spunky.
Oh, look at
her.
There
she is.
Look at her. Oh, she's so nice.
She looks all right. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't think I've ever seen her talk. I don't know.
Dude, you know what? She has nothing to say.
Oh, here she is talking about Hillary Clinton. Here you go.
Oh, all right, this ought to be genius.
Yeah. You want to talk about environment all the time until we get to Hillary Clinton and her pandering about ethanol production.
What the hell?
Did you hear that?
Pandering on ethanol production?
You want to talk about environment all the time until we get to Hillary Clinton and her pandering about ethanol production.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, I just want to...
Hillary Clinton's pandering about what?
This is the show. This is the shit that's on television.
Yeah.
You know what it is? You know, this is the problem in America.
We should be on TV. Anything but Monday, the TV show.
First of all, that would be a hell of a lot more entertaining than that, first of all. But second of all, the problem with this show is, like Oprah... Millions of middle Americans sit home and watch this crap, you know, and listen to their opinions and formulate actions in their lives based on what they hear on the show. It's like insane. It's absolutely insane. Do not watch this show. If you have a spouse that's watching the show, stop rotting your brain. Stop doing it.
But it's the style of people sitting.
Stop.
It's an off the cuff.
He's sleeping all the time. He's not taking care of himself.
A lot of top guys had dark moods. Winston Churchill drank a quart of brandy before breakfast.
Exactly.
And Napoleon, he was a moody fuck too.
Stop watching those shows. You know, those dark.
But the same reason people love the Anything But Monday show, because it's just two guys sitting around shooting the bull, talking about stuff. That's four women sitting around. It's a very similar type of show. Are we copying them? I don't know. We're talking back and forth.
Do I have to come over there and hurt you after saying that kind of crap?
Maybe we could be on The View someday.
Oh, that would be a hoot. I'd love to be on The View.
Are men allowed on there?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, only ones that have, like, you know, their balls cut off.
Yeah.
The only ones that are allowed on that show.
Yeah.
But that's The View for you.
All right. So I think we should take a quick break and then come back with some piss poor.
Oh, I can't wait to hear these
movie trailers.
Really? Absolutely.
All right.
Could just do it. Make me a really quick break.
Yeah.
Staring. Oh, into time. Wondering where I'll find.
See, this is our nice music. We want to be
nice. Nice juxtaposition to my ranting and raving.
This song could be on The View, don't you think?
Yeah. You ever watch that show? I mentioned it on the show before. Do you ever watch that show, The Extreme Makeover, Home Edition?
No, I watch What Not to Wear. Is it similar to that?
No.
That's a good show, by the way. What Not to Wear?
No.
That's a great. You ever saw that one?
No.
Really good show.
No.
They take someone and give them a new wardrobe, and then they give them makeup and a hairstyle. You really should see it. It's amazing. What a brilliant...
Can you imagine being in the room with a pitch this show?
It's quite a
thing
to see.
Here's what we're going to do. Just go ahead. Frank, you be the pitch guy. I'll be the guy you're pitching the show to. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Good. You're pitching this concept to me.
Okay.
And I'm the show producer deciding whether I'm going to take the show on.
I have a great idea. We have a great idea for a show.
Okay.
Because a lot of people, they don't know what to wear. And what we're going to do is choose a person, and their friends are actually going to videotape them secretly. And send in the videotape, and then we are going to surprise them and give them a whole new wardrobe. But the thing is, they need to give up their old wardrobe in order to get the new, and they're going to get a shopping card, and they're going to go to New York City and go to all the top boutiques, and of course, our two hosts of the show will help them if they're buying the wrong clothes. And then,
fucking motherfucker.
Now, wait a second.
Fucking ass.
Can you believe that would be a pitch?
I am dead serious. That is a great show. I could watch that show all day long. And what channel is that on? Like
I don't know what channel.
Bravo or something. And they do these marathons. And you wind up watching. They have the What Not to Wear marathon. It's like 85 hours long. And you sit there. You don't even sleep. You just watch it.
You're enthralled. You can't get away
from
it. I
love What Not to Wear.
But anyway, on the subject is because they had this episode of this whole makeover thing. And then it was obviously every one of them is gut-wrenching, these stories. But they had this one.
But what's the concept of that show? You're making out someone's home.
No, the concept is they build out and they give these people that need it. They rebuild their houses for them in a week. They give them a brand new entire house, everything in a week.
So they tear it down and they build it.
Tear
a new
it down
one?
To the ground. Usually, once in a blue moon, they leave part of the structure up, or even take the existing house.
Yeah.
But most of the time, they raise the house to the ground.
How can you build a house in a week?
They have like 1,500 people working around the clock for 7 straight days. That's how they do it.
1,500 people.
1,500 people.
Really?
And I told you, that's why Ground Zero could get done if you put Extreme Makeover on it, because these people literally they volunteers, all for plugs, sponsorship.
Yeah.
You know, so all the they give them the appliance. I'm talking like they totally redo the entire house. You know, fill it with everything, furniture, appliances, the whole works. But that's besides the point. The point being is there was a show that was on recently about some kid who died and he donated his organs, like he was an organ donor. You know, so the whole town became organ donors. So I'm thinking, oh, you know, I should become an organ donor or whatever it may be. I'm not an organ donor. I'm not sure. So what the hell? Why not? You know?
Yeah.
So I call up the organ donor place just to say I want to be, you know, get on the list, whatever. How do I do this?
Yeah.
And I said, look, just one thing. Just make sure that before you take all my organs, you know, that I'm dead. You know what they got? You know what they say to me?
What?
Oh, we will. We will. I'm like, what the fuck is that? Oh, we will. We will. You know? So you're like lying there, not quite dead. You couldn't go either way. Well, just maybe make sure he's dead. We need these organs today. That's my only fear about becoming an organ donor, because you never know, right?
They could die. They could kill you for it.
But they just take them, you know? I mean, just whenever, you know, whatever. You know, but that was a little Monty Python skit. Remember that?
I'm not dead.
That was the meaning. No, the meaning of life.
I'm not dead, huh?
No, that wasn't it. In the meaning of life, when the guy was an organ donor, and they came to the door to get the organs one day, and the guy's like perfectly fine and alive. Because they needed him, they needed a liver, they needed this.
I don't remember
And they started extracting his organs.
That's when death comes? Or
no, when he was alive. No, this is a whole skit that they did when he was an organ donor.
The salmon moose, no?
That wasn't that one.
That was a different one.
Anyway, let's do the piss poor movie trailers. What's our intro for that today? That's the intro to piss poor movie trailers? Or is that just you not knowing how to work the damn board?
There we go.
Which would that be?
I always use the same sound effect. I'm sorry.
Dude, why can't you get? Don't you have these things labeled? Don't you have anything?
Our soundboards are not set up yet. All right, here we go. You want a better intro?
You have all these great effects you have there now.
Here we go.
Do I have to resort to zombies?
Roll the tape.
Piss poor movie trailer.
All right. So please explain to the listeners, if we maybe just be premium listeners for the first time, what exactly is piss poor movie trailers, Frank?
Well, a lot of movies are made in this world of ours since 18. When was the first movie?
I don't know.
First movie.
Great Train Robbery, I believe it was, by Thomas Alva Edison.
Something like an 18. I mean, probably, it was made in New Jersey,
by
the way.
It was made in Sense Around.
Sense Around in New Jersey.
In New Jersey.
Yes. Most things, if you'll find, I'm totally not kidding, most things were invented in New Jersey.
Can you imagine if they had like Sense Around 1895? That's a thing.
It was like around 1880, 1890, something like that. Right. But since then, there's been many thousands of movies made, you know, maybe even hundreds of thousands or millions of movies made. And they do these things called trailers where they want to make you
entice you to come see the movie.
So you go see a movie, but before the movie.
But see, the whole thing I don't understand. Conceptually, you know, if it's a trailer, why is it coming? Why does it come before the movie? You know, it doesn't make any sense. It's one of the logics. How is it a trailer?
Oh, so you're saying it should trail.
Yeah, well, that's what a trailer is.
Maybe it means like a trail you walk on. So you're walking on the trail before you
Why would you call it a trailer? That's the case.
It's trailing.
A movie trail. I don't know. A trail to the movie. It doesn't make any sense.
No, because it's trailing the part where they're like, welcome to your General Cinemas. Right? And then it trails that.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. People know that. Go. So what do we got?
All right. So the idea is that I found these piss poor movie trailers online.
How many do you have?
Three.
Three. And so one of them is, so Frank is going to read me three movie descriptions.
Yeah.
For each one. And I have to pick which one do I think is the actual
movie.
Yes.
And we actually have the bells and stuff this time. You didn't used to have the bells. We have the bell and the buzzer. So here we go.
So here we go.
All right.
He gives me the title. I'm supposed to guess the plot synopsis. Which one is the correct one?
Okay. Here we go.
Here we go.
The first movie is The Astro Zombies.
The Astro Zombies.
Option one. A disgruntled scientist creates a zombie Astro Man from a criminal's dead body. Mm-hmm. Again, talking about dead bodies and stuff. Okay. Number two, cult vamp Leona Cosmosia crashes the party of man's first Venus landing. And option three, a deadly strain of LSD turns a mod college party into a major horror show.
What's the title again?
The Astro Zombies.
It's got to be cult vamp. It's got to be that woman, that one that you said. Oh,
sorry, it's a disgruntled scientist creates a zombie Astro Man from a criminal's dead body.
This is gonna be good. Go. I gotta see this one.
The Astro Zombies.
Astro Zombies.
Here it is.
1968.
Yes.
Terror stalks the streets as a scientist's human transplantation experiment runs amok. The Astro Zombies.
Like, that's a wonderful.
It is done, Pancho.
John Carradine and Wendell Corey star in one of the most frightening horror films ever made.
The rubber mask.
He's just like a mask. Fright,
thrilled to breathless excitement as these skull-faced astro zombies strike blindly at living flesh, tearing, ripping, and killing with blood-drenched fury. Unbearable suspense and sadistic terror grip the senses as these human transplants threaten the safety of a city.
This is a very delicate situation. We are concerned with the mutilation murders that have occurred over the past 6 months.
The beautiful, voluptuous, deadly, vicious Satana.
Satana
would stop at nothing to gain control over the Astro Zombies, whose creed was kill, kill, kill.
Need a silencer. Into the pool.
Satana.
Between them, they created a blood-soaked reign of terror to stagger the imagination. The Astro Zombies are strange, weird, unbelievable breed of living dead in human form. Their deranged, transplanted brains could only lead them to murder, action to thrill you, suspense to make your blood
scientist.
Curdle. You watch in frightened fascination, beating hearts and throbbing living brains are transplanted by a scientist whose motives are entirely dedicated to evil.
His mores.
Watch as the vicious Satana tortures her victim.
The cigarette butt.
Watch as the Astro Zombies attack with maniacal fury. Watch as a deadly weapon cuts a head in two. Watch as the blood flows and splatters the screen. Watch
as
Astro Zombies. You will die a thousand deaths as you watch The Astro Zombies, starring Wendell Corey and John Carradine.
That had to be the best one yet, man.
I want to see that now.
That is so bad. You have to watch. It was one of
Satana. It is actually, her name is actually Tura Satana. She is actually a cult like person. That's why I put that other one in there to throw you off.
But this guy's like wearing rubber masks. It's like, and it's like he's old, and like you know, like business suits.
Yeah.
With machetes. I mean, it's like the most horrible, horrible concoction, you know? And one serious actor in the middle of that mess that's going on right there, but it was tough.
That was a good one. I like that one a lot.
That was one of the best ones I've ever seen. You can't.
They're getting worse and worse. They're getting worse and worse today too. Blast Off Girls is our next one.
Blast Off Girls.
Blast Off Girls.
I'm gonna get this one right.
Yes. Okay. So here you go. Your option number one is a trio of astronauts' girlfriends hijack a rocket the night before the big trip to Mars.
Okay.
Option number two, prostitutes hired by the Russian space agency try to escape their grim existence.
Okay.
Number three, a sleazy music producer uses hired girls to promote rock band The Big Blast.
Ooh, it's tough, man. These are tough this week.
Blast Off Girls.
Blast Off Girls?
Blast Off Girls,
what was the first one again?
A trio of astronauts' girlfriends hijack a rocket the night before the big trip to Mars. And number two is a prostitute hired by the Russian Space Agency. Number three, the sleazy music promoter and the band, The Big Blast.
Right, it's got to be the first one. How about that? All right. Oh, shit, man. I can't. I need to get at least one.
And number three, it is a sleazy music promoter uses hired girls to promote the rock band The Big Blast.
Oh, no.
Here it is. Blast Off Girls from 1967.
What a shit movies made in the 60s,
oh,
man.
Oh, man, horrible movies. Here we go.
You'll have a real blast when your eyeballs pop at the wild, blasting music that has the whole country hopping. And the wild blast-off girls who have the musicians popping the strings on their guitars.
They're pulling the shirts off the guys.
The picture is so hot it literally vibrates on the screen. Jumping young teeny boppers, get with it. The savage beat of the Big Blast.
Savage beat.
Blast-off girls. Nobody will fall asleep watching this picture. Here's Bougie Baker, king of the rock group. Bougie never blows his cool, no matter how hot the music blasts. Meet the Blast-Off Girls, a red-hot mob of rambunctious tiger kittens on the prowl. They're the
tiger
fire
kittens.
That blows up your blood to the boiling point. It's a gas, a jam-up, the blast of the year, a riot of color, excitement, and fun. It's what's happening, baby, and it's happening right here. If you've been wondering what it's all about, here's your chance to get with it and ride it to the top. See it here. Blast-Off Girls, you'll have a blast.
Wow. And I realized something. It's about a sleazy music producer and this group of girls. That show, 30 Days to Living Famous, copied this. This is where they got the whole idea.
Save it. We're copyright infringement.
We're going to find whoever made this movie, Blast Off Girls.
And the last segment, the last freeze frame is a guy with his tongue out, like, ah, some teenage boy with his tongue out of his mouth. Like, he's really, ooh, that's crazy. And another guy's like, he's taking a bottle of champagne and he's pouring into someone's mouth. It's like the worst.
Wow.
It's a gas, baby.
These are horrible. But the last one, I think I saved the best for last.
You did?
Invasion of the Blood Farmers.
This is not a movie.
Invasion of the Blood Farmers. Option number one.
Yeah.
A bloodthirsty band of brigands terrorizes a 14th century Irish mining villa. Option number two. Somewhere in upstate New York, a young woman is terrorized by a group of rural farmers primarily interested in the harvest of blood. And option number three, gelatinous scoundrels from Jupiter's moon victimize a rural Japanese school for disabled students.
It can't be that one.
Gelatinous scoundrels from Jupiter's moon victimize a rural Japanese school for disabled students.
Dude, if it's that one, I'm walking out of the fucking studio tonight. No. This hour tonight. I'm going to say it's number two. Oh, yes, baby.
That one's you got tonight. One. Woo! You got one. Invasion of the Blood Farmers is indeed about a young woman terrorized by a group of rural farmers primarily interested in a harvest
of blood.
Of blood. Here we go.
It's just a farmhouse and looks pretty innocent from the road. But once you're inside, you'll see what really happens on a terror farm. Invasion of the Blood Farmers.
Everybody's always hooked up the tubes and wires. Everybody's always doing that.
Coming in the dead of night, coming to plant the living and harvest the dead.
Oh my God.
Invasion of the Blood Farmers.
It's like tubes. The lab will be
flooded with human blood.
I can't stop it.
The Blood Farmers.
Are you strong enough? More raw terror, more stomach-turning shock than you can take. Therefore, we warn you, don't eat before you see Invasion of the Blood Farmers.
Oh, my God.
And you'll have nothing to lose.
Woman lying in a glass coffin for some reason as they put blood on her face. Which is rising from the dead.
Like a vampire. Stop it!
They plant the living and harvest the dead. Invasion of the Blood Farmers, released by NMD Films, in color, rated PG.
It's rated PG!
PG!
PG?
How can that be rated PG?
First of all, they literally have people strapped to tables and like slicing them up. and have rubber tubes attached to everybody writhing around.
It is pretty, it does look pretty shocking. It's like very guy, horrific
there's
images.
A guy, there's a guy in a shower. They open the shower door on the guy and they club him in the head with an axe. You know, this is a PG movie.
There's a guy fighting a big white dog and like bites it. Like,
he's biting, it's a big fluffy poodle and he's like biting the dog.
It's like, which you want to bring your kids to?
1972. So it's around the same period.
Frank, warn the listeners, do not bring your kids to see Invasion of the Blood Farmers.
I want to see the one about the Japanese school, though. That would be good.
That was terrible, but I can't believe. I'd love to see that.
These are good movies. We should see all these movies that we do the trailers for, you know?
That was a classic.
We should try it.
The zombies protest, Frank.
Yes, the blood farmers are getting all the blood.
The real zombies protest.
Yeah.
This whole thing. So anyway, but I think we should do that game I talked about. I promised a game that we would do, and we have to do this game today.
You want to do a game?
Yeah, why don't we do a little game?
All right, but I want to take a break because I got to go to the bathroom.
I told you to bring the bucket. What did I tell you?
I know. Last time we made it the whole 3 hours, but now I don't know. Right. You want to take a quick break so I can go
to
the bathroom?
We have time after this. How much time do we have left after this?
We have plenty of time. We're only at 1 hour and 44 minutes.
Oh, we're fine. Yeah. We're not even the halfway point yet.
No, we're good.
No, we are. We're past the halfway point. So why don't you? We're going to take a break so Frank can go urinate. All right. So not that you care, but that's what we have to do now. So Frank, go play some urination exit music before we leave. Is there any kind of special music you have to do that? Do?
Yes.
All right. Good.
Here it is.
Well, I never imagined it'd say so much before I woke. When I went to bed yesterday, when I went to bed yesterday, and these pictures fade.
There you go.
What the hell was that?
You said to find a song that would be related to pissing or something, so it's a piss poor song.
It's piss poor, right?
Flowers decay.
It's emo.
God.
And what? Emo. You know the genre of music?
There.
An attempt at it, at least. All right, there you go.
Great.
Now,
thank you.
I have a question. I have a question for you.
You have a question for me, Frank? Give me the question.
Hold on. Now, you are very smart of vitamins, right?
I'm very smart of vitamins? What kind of language was that? You're very smart of vitamins.
You know about vitamins. Like, yeah, I know. Health food stuff.
I am the all-seeing, all-knowing sage when it comes to health food stuff.
I took some vitamins before.
Yeah.
My Solgar Omnium vitamins, right?
Okay.
Why is it that my urine is like this like glowing like yellow color? It's like it's really bright, like yellow orange, and it's from the vitamins. Every time I take the vitamins, I get this urine color. What is behind that?
Did you read the ingredients?
No.
Do you know what they use to actually encapsulate vitamins?
No.
You remember all that green slime from the 1970s they sold?
Yeah.
Well.
Really?
That's where the surplus
they
went.
They put slime in there?
Exactly.
That's terrible.
It's a stabilizing agent.
That's because slime was that was dangerous back in the day.
That was the thing to have.
I mean, it was this toxic goo.
We gotta get some green slime for this. That's what we need.
Real slime.
We need ABM show green slime.
See, but they have similar things to that now. But back then, it was like if you got that in someone's hair, you would literally have to cut their hair out. You got it in your rug, right? Remember the stuff slime?
Yeah, and it said like all warnings: do not put on like furniture, do not put on walls, do not put on ceilings, don't put it anywhere except your hands, and then wash hands rigorously after using slime.
I mean, can you imagine a toy? This is literally a toy. It came in a green garbage can.
Right? Is you have it?
I'm trying to find a slime commercial.
A green slime. It's got to be. That's a slime commercial. What was the other thing that came out afterwards? The purple stuff. There was like green slime.
Slime with worms, slime eyes. You know.
Yeah, they made variations of slime. Green slime wasn't enough.
Oh, man.
That was a big thing, wasn't it? Slime?
Slime eyes was the big one, right? Slime eyes.
But what's wrong with green slime? They don't have the product for the whole thing?
I'm trying to see if I can find it. It's kind of hard to search for because just like
the toy, green slime toy?
Slime toy, yeah. Let me see if I can find it.
Something like that. But
basically, that would never fly today. It was this toxic substance. It was like you pull it apart. It was fun to. It felt like weird and cold, right? It was like some alien substance. Yeah. And yet you tell kids, don't put it in your sister's hair. Don't stick it on the rug. And of course, where does it wind up? Of course, kids are going to do that.
Do not smear it on genitals. It'll make you sterile. Don't put it on your genitals.
So who knows? If they sell it today still. Here's a picture of it. Slime.
Where is it?
You know, from Mattel, of course.
Mattel. Yeah. it is, makers of fine toy. But is it it's gooey, drippy, oozy, cold and what?
Cold and clammy.
Clammy.
Yeah, it was. It was like cold and clammy.
Yeah, for
like
ages five and up.
It was completely toxic. It would like poison you, kill you. I'm sure it was non-toxic, but.
Yeah.
That was a sick, sick toy.
Okay. Cool. Oh, we're going to do the thing, right? The contest, right?
Well, we need, of course, the intro to the contest.
Do we need an overblown intro, or are we just doing a regular intro? What are we using? Do you have any game show intro type stuff?
Let's see.
I'm sure you do. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to give you anything called life. What is this, like a Prince song? What are you doing?
There you go.
All right.
Time for the contest.
All right. This is what I'm going to basically do.
Yeah.
So in rapid succession, I'm going to play little bits of popular 70s TV theme songs.
Okay.
Popular 70s TV theme songs. So
yeah.
I'm not going to play a lot of them, and you have to get them in succession, in the right order. All right? From the order that I play them.
Yeah.
And for every person that gets them in the right order that I play them.
Yeah.
All right? It's a premium member.
Yeah.
Will get a shirt sent to them. A beautiful, brand new.
Yeah.
Never been worn before. But we could wear it for you if you'd like.
So what are the rules actually?
What are the rules? Did they make the rules clear? They have to just, you know, go post it up on their, you know, they're premium members.
The spelling count, things like that. Like what's the?
They have to name structure. They have to name the show it's from.
Yeah.
They don't have to name the group. They don't have to sing it. It's what show is the song in question from?
Okay.
You don't have to name the song. Okay. What it's called. Okay. You just basically would you know have to name what song was that.
You don't want to say like the first. Like it's just any number of people.
Frank,
how many shirts do we have?
We have hundreds of shirts.
Really?
Okay. We don't have hundreds of premium listeners yet, so we should be okay. All right? Right?
Yeah, we're okay.
All right, so we should be all right.
Yes.
Not everybody's going to do this. I don't think people are going to take the time.
What's the deadline?
They're going to give them a deadline.
It's got to be a deadline.
A deadline. Okay?
This show
by the time you hear this show, it's got to be done.
Wait, this show's coming out on Monday, the...
yeah, so by the time you hear the show, it's got to be...
26th.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So we want to give them until like Wednesday, or like how do you want to do it?
Wednesday
to Friday.
All right, we'll give them the Friday.
All right, you have till Friday.
What's the date?
27, 28.
We have a calendar in this freaking office.
7:29. I know. Where's our calendar? We need a calendar. The 30th, March
Friday,
30th.
Friday, March 30th. At what time?
6:15 p.m.
All right. By 6:15 p.m. on Friday, March 30th, we need the correct answers in succession, in the correct order. Of the names of these TV shows.
Yeah.
Popular 70s TV shows. You have to get them in order.
Yes. Get them in by Friday. And then
Friday. And if you are correct, you win the awesome Anything Monday Abandoned Reality Show.
These shirts are totally awesome.
They're amazing quality.
So
they
the
look
extra
great.
Large could be a little larger for me here. Right. I think I need 2XL here.
You know, I actually squeezed into a large earlier on. Just to, you know,
really?
You know, but that made me look like I was a big bodybuilder goon.
Yeah.
So anyways, let's play these things. Let's see if I can manage this. Here we go.
All right, here we go.
Listen carefully as we go through these shows. I'll play them in rapid succession. Here we go.
All right, go.
Boy, welcome back. Where we're moving on.
I'm giving you a freebie.
Come and listen to the story.
Was it
really?
That was it.
I think I know most of them, but I didn't know all of them. I have to say, that's actually a good challenge. It's going to take someone.
It's going to take some time to listen to that.
Now, are you going to write? Are you going to write down the right answers so we know what the right answers are?
I will find. I will get down the right answers.
Do you even know the right answers?
Yes, I do.
You do?
Yes, okay. I do.
All right, because you were playing them.
Yeah, I'm looking at them on the screen.
Okay.
All right. So that was the montage of 70s TV theme songs.
I think one might have been from the 60s.
No. The show might have started in the 60s. But,
but it continued into the 70s.
Continued into the 70s. Unless they made a mistake and they're saying these were. So they could be 60s if an error.
I'm not going to say what it is, but I'm going to look it up on TV.com. And see what's...
I think I know what you're talking about. There might be a couple there, I think.
The one that sort of struck me as
struck me as a 60s thing.
Yeah.
All right. But anyway, that was the thing. I think we did a pretty good job. I gave you a freebie in there. One's an obvious one.
Well, the name of the show was in the song.
Yeah. So we gave you one in the right smack in the middle of it. Right.
Yeah.
But should we just let you know how many we're looking for? Do we give just in case
lost the
sequence?
Yeah, what's the number? The total
number? They're looking for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Hold on. It was 10.
Oh, you know what? That one, it did air. The final episode aired in the 1970s.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
You're correct.
10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Wow.
18?
19, 20, 21, 22, 23. 23 theme songs.
That's rough.
In a row.
That is rough.
But Frank, these shirts are so good. It's worth trying to go for.
No, these are great shirts.
I mean, you got to go for it. But that's the little game that I just came up with today. So good luck.
Good luck. Later on. Good luck. Good luck. You need it. There you go.
All right.
A little outro. We're getting our production elements up to speed. Yeah. Eventually we'll get them, you know.
Right.
Right now I just have all these things randomly in here, you know.
I think this situation absolutely requires...
What other? Come on.
...the futile and stupid gesture be done on somebody's part. We're just the guys to do it.
Oh, that's John Belushi.
Yeah, that was... No, that wasn't enough. Was it Belushi?
No, maybe not.
What the hell was that nose? Correct. I don't understand. This has been lingering for game. The thing of game shows for me forever.
Yeah.
You ever? It's like I never notice, ever wonder. But really, this whole thing about it, you ever notice how if you watch old game shows, right, or even new game shows, you know how the hosts always feign mock interest in anything and everything when reviewing the contestants' brief bios and personal interests, no matter how outlandish and shocking. Okay. Like for instance, they go, let's say hello to Judy. Hi, Judy. Judy is a homemaker. It says here, Judy, that your interests include macrame, baking, and using your entire fist. Is that so? It's like just like it'd be the most outlandish, crazy thing. I just come up with that crap. Here's another one. They go, and next up is Bob. Hello, Bob. Bob is a mail carrier. It says here that you enjoy fishing, gardening, and cock rings. Really? Really? Actually, that's interesting and then fascinating. And last but not least, we have Tina. Hi, Tina. Tina is a real estate agent. Tina enjoys teaching Bible study, coaching her daughter's softball team, and taking it in the rear. Wow. Interesting stuff. It's like it can be the most ridiculously, you know, whatever. And they feign mock interest in the whole thing or totally downplay like it's the most ridiculous stuff all the time. You ever notice that?
Oh, yeah. They're very well trained, the game show hosts.
They're like robots.
Yeah.
The androids. But I think it's a requirement. You must be an android to be a game show host.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. What do we have next?
I thought you had something.
How do we do the horoscope, Frank?
Oh, yes. It's
getting late in the show, and everybody waits for the horoscope. We have our theme music for that.
Well, people need to plan their week based on the entries in the horoscope.
Okay, so, you know.
We need the horoscope music, of course.
And who will be going first today?
But do I have a copy of it?
I made you a copy of it, Frank.
Here it is.
Our advanced production procedures, I made you a copy of it.
Well, I always do the intro, then you go first, right?
Okay, whatever. Whatever you decide.
Here we go. Hold on, let me... my music
here. People really, you'll be spending some time editing this part, wouldn't you?
What are you talking about?
Could you please?
I'm just trying to get I'm trying to get some notes down here.
Great. Right. I think people really care. People care about that.
Here we go. Fucking believable, man. And now, on the Anything But Monday show, it's time for your horror scoop.
Aquarius. Be wary as you sit stunned watching the construction equipment perform ballet. The small green book is smaller than your thumbnail. Don't forget your hat made of pollen. Flip your relatives.
Pisces. The coming new moon signifies that a financial moron will enter your life. Tell the story of a parasitic mollusk. During the week, avoid excessive electrocution. Fondle the abrasive surface of an obsidian grave, if you will.
Willie, for those born on February 29th, wear a t-shirt made of coral and tobacco. Try cruising down the boulevard in a stolen hearse and go to the corner drugstore to buy some puffin-flavored aspirin. For fun, boil a goldfish in your toilet. In love, draw a crude picture of DeForest Kelly on the wall.
Aries, eat little Swiss Army knives and a bowl of milk for breakfast. Open the hood of your car. Inside is your brain. Read Poe's The Raven backwards for a new insight into romance. Season your salads with the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Taurus,
Make sure that the blades of grass in your lawn aren't holding minute walkie-talkies and rifles. No, the next eclipse is not your personal holiday. Meditate on this carbon blankety blank foam. Try to remember all of the evil musical instruments.
Gemini, damn the sprig of medicinal plastique. Yours is a non-holistic path. The people you meet in your dreams are the same people who ignore you at the supermarket. Your eyeballs will be torn from their sockets by an irate Betty Ford. Drink a bandana milkshake.
Cancer, coal tar as nail polish can brighten your fashion horizons. Don't let your apartment become a hideout for animated mummies. Steer clear of steering steers. Alloys make superior popsicles.
Leo, don't be reluctant to utter cries of joy on a bus. Enter the blatant farm. If you look closely, your life is just a series of ones and zeros. The roar of a jet engine or a shrieking priest sound the same to you.
Virgo, watch your favorite TV program with a magnifying glass this time. A hemophiliac will borrow your underwear. Keep a sharp lookout for low birth weight. Water can be your placebo.
Libra, as Mercury enters the second house, you will notice an increase in your desire to become a piano tuner's cat. While the moon is in the eighth house, your every action will be illegal. Keep your friends away from fire hydrants. You have the combined IQ of a potato.
Scorpio, in your area, the fourth alignment of Jupiter is seen as a tin clock in the sky. The theme song from the $6 Million Man will run through your mind incessantly. Use the best pancake emblem, if you will. Also, visit a bad version of Oklahoma.
Sagittarius, in bed, when you suddenly jolt to consciousness, describe yourself to a nearby chair. Love a parachute. If you can't afford a diamond ring, buy a spade ring. Your great uncle's home planet was destroyed and is now the asteroid belt.
Capricorn, why don't you offer that special guard in your life a fresh cantaloupe? Ask yourself, do you really want to put 40 cigarettes in that blender? Stay away from sewage sushi. That creepy guy on the street may be hiding a 50-dimensional string puzzle under his jacket.
And that is your horoscope for Monday, March 26, 2007. I got it right this time. All right. Another successful horoscope.
My favorite of life. My favorite line had to be, damn the sprig of medicinal plastique. Here's an holistic path. That was a classic when you wrote that 20 years ago. It's still good today.
If I might say, there's a clue. There's a clue in here.
Oh, just shut up.
There's a clue. There's a clue for the contest.
Hey!
What?
Hey!
I want to give the listeners a clue.
The listeners don't need a clue.
There's a clue in here. If you read this carefully, you'll see a clue.
Read what? They're not reading anything. Listen to the show.
Listen to the show. Okay. I don't know.
They're not supposed to do that.
There's a clue in there.
All right. Of all things, right? Of all things.
That was a hard one. That'll help people.
Yeah, but that's the point. Most of them are easy.
Yeah.
You know, come on.
I want to give, but that's another synchronicity.
Shouldn't it be a hard one?
But these are things that are like happening in different. We didn't realize that was in the horoscope this week.
We want people agonizing over this contest a little bit, working on it a little bit.
They don't know what I'm talking about.
All right, whatever. What was your favorite line of this horoscope this week?
My favorite one was.
What did you enjoy?
Oh man, I think eat little Swiss Army knives in a bowl of milk for breakfast is one of my favorites.
You made that one up too, right?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Or wear a T-shirt made of coral and tobacco. We should have made our t-shirts out of coral and tobacco. That would have been cool.
A bit cost prohibitive as well. All right. Good.
So what, weaving coral and tobacco into strands of thread is expensive?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, the new service. We have a new service premiering, offering to our premium members. We're just going to start this up. We have a new service offered to premium members only.
What's this?
It's called ABM Bomb Threats.
What?
So if you'd like to place a bomb threat to somebody, we will actually do it for you.
So that's illegal, I think.
They can't track it to you. How are they going to? It's not illegal. They can't find out about it.
These days, people are a little bit.
But think about what a great service that would be. Remember how you wanted to get out of class?
Yeah.
Remember when you tried to get out of high school?
Yeah.
Oh, call on a bomb threat. You know, like, you know, remember it was the fire alarms weren't working anymore. No one would ever leave.
Yeah.
So then people got, well, we'll call on a bomb threat.
Yeah.
You know, so then they clear out the whole school and you get to be outside for like an hour while they burn the bomb.
Yeah.
That's a great service to offer.
Yeah.
People,
well,
right?
Back when we were growing up in the 70s, there wasn't a little thing called Homeland Security. Okay. It's not going to fly these
Frank,
days.
Hey, Frank, piss on Homeland Security, okay? What is? Do you feel any more secure because of Homeland Security? What are they doing?
It's just they're just constructing a police state to victimize all of us.
There's an idea, Frank. We'll get our bounty hunter badges.
Yeah,
and we'll go knocking door to door. Homeland Security. We're here to secure your home. Little inspection. And we'll just walk through the house, pick up random items before we leave.
You know, it's funny if you think about it, the people in the future listening to this show when it does become an utter police state. This country. They'll be jealous of us because we're still living in the past.
These guys are really radical. They were really like, you know.
No, but they're jealous of us because we're in 2007 before the whole thing really, all the shit hits the fan.
They,
you know?
They had freedom then.
Yeah,
cool.
We still have freedom. Can you believe we have freedom to podcast? How much longer is that going to last?
Not very much longer.
We'll have to get a podcasting license and, you know, get permission.
Pay royalties.
We're going to have to submit a script to the Homeland Security.
Exactly.
To get approval.
For the review. Make sure it's not too subversive.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, that'd be great. So anyway, did the horoscope, which was very, very cool.
That was a good one.
It came up really good.
Can we do analysis of many things? I really have. I have something I've been meaning to analyze, I think, since the first show.
If you have this urge to do so, let's get that. Let's do that. That's not my favorite feature in the entire world, but there are people that like it, and I try to make the best of it. So go ahead. Let's get to it.
Well, analysis of many things is a very good feature. Here we go. I only have one thing to analyze. Don't worry. Here it is. Analysis of many things.
I have something for you as well, Frank.
All right. I have to talk about this because I this is probably not something that a lot of people care about or whatever, but
yeah.
I have here jujubes, okay?
Are there actual, like Jewish people involved?
No,
with these?
Jujubes is a candy.
Like a J-E-W-J-E-W?
No, juju, like J-U-J-U-B-E-S.
As in like juju zombies.
Yes. Okay. Now look. Take a picture of me with this package because people have to look at this. I have to point something out. There's a lot of things going on with jujubes. Okay,
hold on. Let me just. Where is this? Oh, here's a power.
Turn the power button on. Okay. Right. These are jujubes. Okay. Now, this is a kind of candy that's been around for a long time. Okay. Here we go.
Very good.
You got the jujubes? Is it in focus? Jujubes in focus? I keep looking away. All right.
The flash isn't working on the jujubes.
Jujubes. turn the flash off.
There's a picture of this you have to see of yourself with that jujube. But just you'll know what I'm talking about. Which is right. If the flash keeps coming up,
all right.
It's not that bad. It's good enough.
You can turn hit the up button to turn the flash off.
The up button?
No, on the back. The up. See, you see a little. No, you have to hit it a few times until you see the little circle with a slash through it.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Now hold it very steady and take a picture.
Yeah, okay. You got it now.
All right. So anyway, do you remember jujubes?
Yeah, I remember jujubes, okay. Of course.
Jujubes were a major candy, and what I love about this packaging is a brand new box of jujubes.
Right.
It's a fat-free candy, and it's produced by Farley's and Sather's Candy Company, Round Lake, Minnesota, right?
Yeah, no, those are actually little gummy candies, which are actually the approximate size of a filling.
Yeah.
Like a tooth filling. So
Yeah. What were you going to say? Because this is what I remember, too.
Yeah, because they rip the fillings out of your mouth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jujubes, right? And first of all, I love the packaging. There's this very rudimentary picture of a bee, right? Like when they've been updating all this packaging, this is probably the same picture of a bee from like 1969.
Wouldn't it be funny if they made like that would be a good wacky pack.
Yeah.
Like they're not jujubes or J-E-W-J-E-W-bees. And it's like little bees flying around with like the yarmulkes on.
There you go. That'd be good.
That would be great.
But look at this. It says Heidi candy since 1869.
Okay.
So anyway, your memory of this is that
What are you driving at?
Okay. I remember these as being these little, again, gelatinous, use that word again.
Yeah.
Like they're clear little things, like little, how would you describe it? Like little mounds or little.
Yeah.
But it was sort of shaped like a cone. It went up a little bit. And when you bit into these things, like you said, you would bite into these things and they were so like gooey and hard, whatever.
And painful.
Yeah. You would bite into them. You could not open your jaw. And lots of kids got their fillings pulled out by these things.
They were in the category of painful candies.
These jujubes were very painful candies. And I actually remember having my jaw like just glued shut with these things.
There's another pain. The jawbreakers, gobstoppers, jujubes, very painful candies.
Again, these days you go into candy store, super sour, nuclear meltdown. No candies can be like more painful than a candy from the 70s. Okay. So I bought these jujubes hoping to relive my youth.
Yeah.
And here you go. Here's a few jujubes for you. What the hell happened to jujubes?
Oh my God.
What the hell? Those are fake jujubes. Let me take a picture of this.
Oh my God. What the hell are these?
They are not real jujubes.
It looks like someone broke open a Light Bright set.
I know.
The pegs.
They completely changed it.
These are like the pegs from a Light Bright set. Light Bright?
Yeah.
Oh.
They completely changed the form. But now try to bite one of them. Here you go. They just shatter in your mouth. It's not the same formula. It tastes like makeup.
Makeup.
Nasty, right?
What do you mean make makeup flavored candy for?
But they took away.
It's not even the same candy. It's not like gooey. It's not like, you know, soft.
No, they don't. They completely changed the formula for Jujubes. And like, who noticed it? I'm the only one who noticed it. You know.
Yeah. But when we have a Jujube protest?
I'm going to.
A march on whatever called Minnesota that is. Where is that place?
We're going to Round Lake, Minnesota. We're gonna march. Okay.
When will this march be held, Frank? Exactly. Let the listeners know. You can meet us out there.
Trying to see. Oh, a jujube is an actual tree. There's a jujube tree.
There is?
In China, yeah.
And obviously they use elements of the jujube in every box, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's look at the ingredients of jujube, shall we? Frank, these are some great ingredients. Here we go. Great. This is really high quality food. I like to call it another anti-food here. Ingredients. First ingredient, of course, corn syrup.
Yeah.
Followed by sugar. And my favorite, Frank, modified potato starch is the third one. Artificial or natural flavor. White mineral oil.
Great. Why
why is there mineral oil in these things? Carnauba wax. Artificial colors is yellow 5, blue 1, red 40, and yellow 6. Okay? So I think that's a highly toxic substance right there.
If you go on Wikipedia, they tell you what happened.
What happened?
Product changes over the years. The original jujube consistency, as noted above, was hard as a rock or a fossilized bit of amber. Due to the sale of the manufacturing rights...
And you'd be killed in jujubes.
To two subsequent owners, the jujube has changed to a chewy, loudly fruit-flavored gummy that bears little resemblance to this subtly flavored, suckable original candy. It's lost. Jujubes are lost.
It's not even gummy. It's not gummy.
No, it's nothing.
It's a brick. It's like small pieces of rock fragment. Well, I actually have something for you to analyze, Frank, as well, too. We should get to, because we did enough on the jujubes. But I thought you'd appreciate these. I got another novelty gift that I received from a friend. Cowboy adhesive bandages.
What?
So actually, here they are, Texas size. There's also a free.
We'll take a picture.
Not often that you see bandages.
Yeah.
With a cowboy theme, band-aids.
Look at this.
But there's also a free toy inside.
Really?
You get a free toy
cowboy
inside the bandages. And it's perfect for cuts, burns, cactus pricks, or other minor boo-boos.
There we go. Let me analyze this. Cowboy adhesive bandage. So this is real. It's not like a fake thing.
No, those are actual they're actual bandages.
Fly clean bandage. So do I have to like injure myself to use this or?
Don't, Frank. I'll take care of that for you.
Should I?
At this rate.
All right, here. Let me just. I'll take my pen and I just scrape myself a little bit. Okay, there you go.
You didn't actually cut yourself.
Yeah, look. I scraped my arm a little bit.
If you're really hardcore, make yourself bleed.
No, I just scraped it a little bit. There, see?
So what is that? What is that? Those? Are you ever going to do those maladies you talked about with all those people?
That was horrible.
Those different maladies. Do we have to talk about
Oh, I found the toy. I found the toy.
All right.
Well, this is so cool. It's like a box of cereal. Look at this.
What is the toy?
Oh, it's stuck down there. Oh, there it is. It's a little toy cowboy hat. Look. Can you get it like a close-up?
Yeah, I can get a close-up.
Is the macro on?
I don't know what the frick you're talking about.
It's a little like picture of a plant. You got it?
That's good enough.
Is it in focus?
Yeah, it's in focus. I don't know what focus
is. So cool. It's like a little charm. It's like the Indiana Jones hat.
How is that a toy? Lee, what are you going to do with that?
I don't know.
I dare you to wear that on the
put
bus.
Put it on a G.I. Joe or
I
something.
Dare you to wear that on the bus tomorrow.
You know
on Monday. We're going to work and wear it.
Yeah.
Hey, I got that.
Can I even?
I don't think I could even see that.
There you go.
Hold on. Let me see if I can.
I'm wearing the hat.
Hold on. Let me see. I got the zoom. It's under your hair. You can't even see it.
Zoom in.
I am zoomed, but you got to move the hair. You got to move your hair out of the way a little bit. It's like on the top, and I want to get a picture of it. If you're wearing your little toy. Hold on. There it is.
All right. Great. That's a cool hat, though.
Oh, so anyway.
It's like a fedora.
Yep.
All right, so I did injure myself, and I'm going to take one of these bandages. I slightly scratched myself with a pen.
Mm-hmm. Nothing that would require a Band-Aid, but go ahead, put it on there.
But you can see it's slightly a little mark. So here you go. Sterile adhesive bandage is sterility guaranteed unless wrapper is opened or damaged. Accoutrement. Look, that's the brand name, Accoutrement.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, cool. Here we go. Come on, take a picture of this, too.
Hold on.
Get the camera going. Come on. We need pictures for Flickr.
All right. Look at this. This is the actual...
The actual bandage. It's very cool.
If you are a cowboy and you're looking for bandages, these are for you.
Yeah.
He's not very focused, but
we already played the Cowboys song too. We should have played that.
Yeah,
it's brown. And it looks like very like 1950s graphics of two horseshoes on each side, and then
very Hopalong Cassidy-ish.
And a bucking bronco. Here we go. I'm going to put it on my. I put it right here where I injured myself. Of course, right all the hair on my arm.
Yeah.
There we go.
Frank, be like me and shave your arms, Frank.
Shave your arms?
Of course.
Why?
It's a bodybuilder. Oh, that was a good picture. It's totally out of focus.
Come on,
here we go. There we go.
It's in focus.
It's pretty good. I can just try a little more.
You want to do flash? I mean, what do you want to do?
I don't want to do anything. I want to move on to the next feature.
I want some more jujubes. Those actually were good.
No, you're not eating any more jujubes.
I like jujubes, but the old ones are gone.
Wait, are you trying to kill yourself so we don't ever like realize any success?
It's candy.
With the show?
It's not harmful.
Yeah.
Okay.
It says right on the package, not harmful to human consumption.
Just a couple. All right. So that's cool. So that's and this is very sticky too. It's a very good bandage.
Yeah. High ranks for the Cowboy sterile adhesives.
Yeah. Now if I rip it off, I'm going to rip my...
Yeah.
So let's get back to you shaving your arms.
Yeah.
How's that work?
You get a razor and you shave your arm. That's what you do.
All right, here we go. I'm going to rip it off.
I never have to worry about that
gonna
problem.
It's going to hurt.
I never have to worry about that problem.
One.
Why don't you just leave it on?
Two. Ah! I didn't even get it off. Ah! It ripped my hair off.
Right.
Beautiful.
So.
Now we have a Band-Aid covered with hair.
It's a working out thing, Frank. You don't,
Well, this is a great prize. I love my Cowboy Band-Aid.
All right.
And wash it down with some Coke Zero. This is good stuff, like Coke Zero. I'm not really analyzing it. I'm just drinking some.
Don't do that. So let's move on. What's the next thing we have on our little thing here?
I would say.
A fun little show. Do I have to take it somewhere?
No, I want to, talk about some more stuff from college.
Yeah, what did you want to talk about?
I have vague memories of this weird place called Northgate. Did we have to get our pinball machine repaired there or something?
There's
something really bizarre. There's some guy's name.
That was a weird... It was in Convent Station.
Yeah, the town of Convent Station, New Jersey.
Which I don't know how that's even a town. It's about three streets, right? It's like this, like...
Well, there's what's the college there?
College of St. Elizabeth.
Yeah, it's a girls' college, right?
Yeah, we went there.
Yeah, I remember.
It's all coming back now, man. The trip to St. Elizabeth, St. Well, Ease.
You embarrassed me there.
What did I do there? The St. Ease?
I may be wrong, but when we came to the security gate...
Yeah?
The guy's like, who are you here to see? And you're like, no one, we're just going to come rape some girls. You said that.
I didn't say
that. Yes, you did. You said, we're just coming to rape some girls. You said that.
At the security gate?
Yeah.
This is like...
And I was like, I looked away. I was all embarrassed. I'm like, oh, God.
This is a girls' Catholic college,
right? I can't believe you did that.
All girls, the nuns, right? The nuns with the teachers over there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I remember we had to go in the window of some girl's room or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And she stole my sweatshirt. She took my sweatshirt and never gave back to me.
But who was this girl? How do
I don't
we
know. There's a couple of girls. I don't know how we met them. I forget where we met them.
I couldn't believe you said that at security gate, though.
Well, how do you let us through? That's the whole thing afterwards. How do we even get on campus?
Okay, move along. Go, fine.
Go ahead. Have a good time. Enjoy it.
I don't know if he spoke English. I think it was fine.
He didn't speak English. But that I forgot about that. We went to that... The St. Elizabeth.
But who do we know there? Was it?
It was some girl I met someplace. I don't know who it was.
Yeah.
It was freshman year. It was my freshman year, sophomore year. I don't know what it was. Early?
Yeah, it was early on.
It was very early on.
I'll always remember what you said there, though.
I forgot all about that. But Northgate was this really extra dimensional place.
I'm trying to remember because we had...
It was like Sanford and Son meets, what? It was like...
Star Trek. I don't know.
These guys just sitting around like good old boys on their like used like flea market furniture.
I forget what the guy's name was. But it was like some name like...
Yeah.
Like John Smith or something. Like some weird like normal name. But I think it the pinball machine was broken?
We went to fix a flipper. I forget what it was. Something we had to get fixed.
Yeah, of course, if you saw last week, and the week before, we talked about our crazy dorm room. And the pinball machine in there was a Gemini electromechanical pinball machine. And I guess it got broken. So we looked up pinball repair.
Right.
And it just said Northgate, Convent Station, New Jersey. And you go to this place.
Yeah.
It's like on this back road in this obscure town.
Like, it was. It's like this big, like a state, right?
Yeah. And there was a gate and it said Northgate in big letters. It was sort of like going to Citizen Kane's like house, like a giant Northgate.
It was like Citizen Kane. That's true.
And these weird friggin' people. It was like this. It was a weird, like, whoa. I just busted the chair, I think.
Great. Perfect.
Sorry.
These chairs have a weight limit on them. I forgot to tell you.
Okay, get out of here.
I swear to God, no, I'm not kidding. I'm not busting your chops. I looked at the box after I set these chairs up.
Yeah.
Right?
What is
on the box, 220 pounds is the weight limit. I can't sit in these chairs either, man. I'm like bulked up now. I busted my chair a long time ago.
That's maybe around that a little.
Yeah. Yeah, but I can't believe, like I said, I'm looking at the box and I said, I'm going to go
220 pounds.
I think most people in America that buy these chairs can't fit in these chairs, these fat bastards that they are.
These were probably meant for like China or something where people were smaller. You know?
Exactly. Not here.
But so we go to this place and it's like this open villa, right? And people sitting around on like deck chairs and stuff, all these like weird, like old people just sitting around. They're like, what is this place? And the guy has like,
it's like somebody,
a giant garage full of old video games and pinball machines. Right.
Right.
It was so bizarre. And there was like other devices like time machines. Like
we were hanging out with them for a while too. Like, oh, this is cute. This is fascinating. You know,
I remember they had that a video game called Firefox. Remember that? Remember that? Yeah. Clint Eastwood movie.
Yeah.
Like you played it. It was like they played a video. I don't know what this place was all about.
It's like another one of those instances where we shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
Like as kids, because we could have disappeared, never returned.
This definitely was the kind of place where these people could have been like, you know, like
could have been like
like Zed from Pulp Fiction, that kind of place. Yeah. Like they take you down.
That's it. They take you down. You become the Gimp.
We would have been the Gimp.
We could easily become the Gimp.
I mean, it was that kind of a bizarre place, and I still like I get the creeps even thinking about it. We went there several times. I think we dropped the pinball machine off. Mm-hmm. How did we get it in? How did we get it in the car? I don't even know how we did that.
I don't know how we transported it back and forth. We had to take the legs off it, and again, we had to like hoist it down through a window.
Did we really care that much about? I guess we did, right? About it working.
We wanted the thing to be used in the room and working and whatever. Maybe I don't know. Why
I'm saying this. This is so vague. I know there's lost memories from this event. There's got to be some lost memories.
The whole girls' college thing is there's definitely lost some memories for that. Because we had no business being there. I mean, like guys were off limits in that college, and we somehow we're gonna rape some girls. Great, let it go ahead in. Have a nice night. Say hi to the nuns for you while you're at it.
There's no mention of a Northgate here anymore, but I still have the guys. I have like an old Rolodex somewhere. I got to find it with the guy's number on it.
Yeah, we want to call that guy.
But I think we probably were abducted and like and our memories were erased. Did we ever fix the pinball machine?
Yeah, it's fixed. Yeah, we played it all the time.
Yeah, because remember, this is back in like 86, like 1986, and everyone, this was still like the classic video games were still like brand new back then, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we were always obsessed with getting video games in our rooms. In fact, there's a guy that went to Drew, in fact, that had one of the Star Wars arcade machines in his room.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we knew him. I think he may have been a few years afterwards. He went on to become the curator of the video game museum touring the country.
Really?
He's like, you may have known me at Drew. I was the guy with the sit-down Star Wars arcade vector machine in the room. Right?
He said that somewhere where?
No, I met him years later. He was at the video game museum. He's like, I lived in Hazleton dorm. You may have known me. I had the Star Wars machine.
Well, he was there when we were there?
I think it was a few years later, but everyone's dream was always to have a video game in their room, right? That was the hugest thing, and we wound up getting the pinball machine, but we had an opportunity, right? Were you here with it? You were in on this deal? This was the first year in that first room, not too much long after that tape we played earlier.
Right.
Somehow, someone said, I know a guy who has a Tempest. Of course, Tempest was one of the classic video games from back in that time period. They're like, we can get a Tempest for $100, and so each of us just pitches in $25. It was like four guys were going to go in on it.
Right,
we can have Tempest in our rooms, right? So, what do we do? Were you in on this deal or not?
I don't remember. I'm totally drawing a blank on this whole thing.
You don't remember this whole thing? It was like $100. They're like Tempest for $100, and Tempest.
Where was this?
No, on the door. It was like that guy Tom Hadley and these other like John Rost and my roommate.
Yeah.
We were like, we're going to go in $25 each. We can go get this Tempest.
All right, where was the Tempest?
No, it was somewhere nearby.
Yeah.
So we go to the RA, who was some guy who was like about 50 years old. He had like a beard and mustache. Who was that guy?
Oh, Skylar Rhodes. don't ask me where I got that friggin' name from.
Yeah.
But Skylar, think of what a guy looks like. Just picture a guy, Skylar Rhodes. He's like, hey, dudes.
Oh, he was like a
total pothead.
Total hippie kind of guy.
Total hippie guy, like always.
And he had that look in his eye like he had just taken way too much LSD, right?
Yeah, like that, one of those
hey,
big
guys.
He always had that beard that had like too much crap in it. Like it was like always crumbs in the beard.
Very light blonde hair, all the crumbs in the beard. Just like a big, hey, guys. I always remember the look in his eyes. And we asked him, he's like, I don't know if we call him Skylar or Mr. Rhodes, you know. Hey, you know, we're thinking about getting a video game. Is that all right? Is that in campus policy? You think it'll be okay? He's like, oh, let me get back to you on that, man. You know?
Yeah, he was going to check into it.
And then finally he gets back to us like, hey, guys, I got to say, that's not going to work. It's a fire hazard.
Fire hazard. How is everything back then a fire hazard?
Everything's
a fire hazard. Remember that?
They had all these restrictions. We think back on college with these like rose-colored glasses. Like everything was great, but everything sucked. As soon as you get to college, you walk in, they give you this massive list of things
restrictions.
You're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to have. You're not allowed to. Like you can't do anything. And
they're talking about a police state.
And half the things were fire hazards. Yeah, right.
Everything was a fire hazard. The whole thing was a fire hazard. You know, would deep fryers be a fire hazard?
See, that was probably not even on the list.
What?
That was not on the list.
but that goes to another classic story.
Yeah.
You know, that's a true story. No, I swear, our listeners are never going to believe this.
Yeah.
But here, did I tell the story about the chicken business?
No.
I don't think, were you there yet? Maybe it was our second year. Yeah, you were there. It was on the second floor. It was Brown on the second floor. Remember the guys down the hall, Tang?
Oh, Okay.
This guy was in economics class. This guy, Goldberg. His name was Goldberg. Very enterprising Jewish boy.
Yeah.
His name is I think his name was Goldberg.
I remember this guy.
His name, right? So he had this economics class, and basically his idea was, you have to start a new business. So he went, and I know his friends were shared, their rooms were next to each other.
Yeah.
So he like literally moved into his friend's room.
Yeah.
Cleared out the other room that he was in. Right, that he was in at that point, and basically set up a kitchen where there was like on like deep fryers. He had two big deep fryers. He bought like gallons and gallons of cooking oil. He had gotten a refrigerator that I don't know where he had stored on campus. He used the fridge that was in the medical spa, the hospital, the medical place you go, the doctor,
yeah.
The nurse's office, right? He bought these, 50, 60, 100 pounds of chicken wings, right? Of raw wings,
yeah.
Celery, and blue cheese dressing,
yeah.
Right? Because apparently in upstate New York where he came from, he worked in some restaurant with his secret barbecue sauce that he stole, right? And he bought like all those styrofoam containers you can now get at Costco or trays, right?
Yeah.
So the big idea is like he'll call it wings and things or something like that and start a chicken business on campus, right? So I remember doing deliveries for this guy.
This is in a dorm room. He's cooking chicken.
He's frying up like pounds of chicken, like in the deep fryers, right? So needless to say, the entire room was coated with like a layer of grease, and the whole dorm always smelled like a fast food restaurant, And from time to time, what happens is the fryers got too hot.
Yeah.
The dorm smoke alarms would go off, right? but they had it down to a science, like it was like a fire drill. So they would lift the fryers up with like boards, run them into the shower. Put him in the shower, close him in there, clean everything out. So by the time security showed up, there was no sign of fryers, chicken, nothing. But the whole place would smell like, we were cooking something on the hot plate. You know, and they'd leave, and then no one would investigate it. Literally, you could wipe a finger on their desk, and like grease would come off your finger. So obviously, the Board of Health had a field day. It was like everything was like all this chicken and meat and different poultry, and people would call up and you deliver it all over campus, and we were making money, tips for delivery, the whole thing, until finally, of course, all good things come to an end. It finally got shut down.
Skylar Rhodes came and
busted the place. Hey, dudes, you can't be cooking chicken in here.
Oh man!
But don't you remember the whole fried chicken business? Campus.
It rings a bell. But again, that's one of those memories that just completely buried.
But it was true, man.
The Northgate people accidentally zapped my chicken memories as
chicken
well.
Chicken memories as well too. But anyway, we got on that subject. Well, I think it's time.
I thought we would do a super video battle finally and play some Tempest.
It depends how much time we have here, Frank.
We have 33 minutes.
We really can't do super.
Come on, one super video minutes. Battle of Tempest. Come on, you can do it.
I don't have the controls down like you do. It's not fair.
No, you just move the mouse back and forth, and you just hit the control button. That's it.
What?
Tempest Revision 3, please.
Tempest Revision 3.
Revision 3.
I'm waiting to boot up. So we're going to be playing what?
Tempest Revision 3.
Hold on.
It's very simple. We're going to play Tempest, one of the greatest video games ever.
It's like 90,000 games on this.
1983. Thing. By Atari, color vector video game. Of course, you're going. It's like a blue vortex, and you have this weird little yellow, like a little yellow spiky guy.
How long would it take me to get to T's? Just because there's thousands of games.
Just type
here?
T. Just hit T. Come on, you're in the B's. Get out of the B's.
I'm not in the B's. I'm in T.
Tempest.
This is T. I am in T.
Yes, Tempest.
All right, Tempest.
Revision 3.
Hey, look at this Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. There's a million Tempest. Tempest. Yes. What?
Tempest Revision 3.
Revision 3.
Yes.
Okay, here it is. I click on Tempest, right?
Yes, going to Tempest. We're going to have a super video battle of Tempest. And we should start on like a higher level.
Where do we get like...
Right? Hit start, right?
I'm not... Why is it not booting up?
No, double click on it.
I double clicked on it.
No, no, no. Hit it again. Wait, what are you doing? No, where's your mouse?
This is my mouse right here.
All right, double click on Tempest Revision 3.
I did.
Do it again. There you go.
All right.
Now, we don't want this to go on forever, so we should go to the highest level you can do on the first level. All right? So hit 5 and then 1.
What? 5, 1?
5, then 1.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, what am I supposed to do?
Oh, like go to
expert or like
go to like level
9.
Do level 9. Yeah.
How do I pick that one?
Just click.
Now how do I do this?
Just move the mouse back and forth
and shoot.
Yeah. Oh. Just move the mouse. Just keep the control key down. And then the alt key is your. This is tough. This is like a high level. This is too hard. I'm never gonna last.
It doesn't let you go all the way over here. What are you talking about?
No, move the mouse.
I'm moving the mouse.
Are you dead? Oh,
God, I'm dead.
We lost. All right, what was your final score?
What was my final score?
Yeah.
1708.
I got 3,096. Yes.
Did you take some kind of sick pleasure that you always beat me in these stupid games?
Super video battle. There you go.
How do I get out of this?
Just hit escape. Oh,
God. Great.
Someday we'll get this feature down.
Can we get a joystick in this? If we're going to do that,
we will get joysticks eventually.
Make it fair, at least.
Yeah.
Give me a joystick if I want to do that.
You definitely can use joysticks with that. So, what was your score again? I want to just record this for
17. I forget what it was. 1705 or something like that.
All right. It's on the recording. Great. I'll put a question mark next to that. So, there you go.
Yeah. Super video battle.
All
right. That was a good one.
Super video battle.
Well, I have a new feature.
Oh.
For today.
Wow.
And it's actually a feature.
A new feature.
That I actually like to call.
Yeah.
Answer me this, Mr. Nora.
Oh, boy. Yes.
So this is a feature where I take a very pointed question, put Frank on the spot with it, and he has to come up with his best answer or how he responds to this particular question. So the feature is called Answer Me This.
Was this like trivia?
Mr. Nora. No, this is actually a pointed question.
A pointed question.
It's to make you think and, you know. You basically have to answer the question.
Whatever. Am I agreeing to this? I don't even know about this.
Do we have any new feature music of any sort?
Oh, of course. Of course.
So we can actually introduce our new feature. Answer me this, Mr. Nora.
Hold on one second.
That was a cue for the music right there. That would have been a good time.
Here we go.
To insert music.
Answer me this, Mr. Nora.
Frank, I didn't ask for like prancing and metal music.
Right,
I
well,
asked
like, for, what like, kind of music would be like this?
It's something very like, you know. Answer me this, Mr. Nora.
Answer me this, Mr. Nora. All right.
All right. Here we go, Frank.
Yes.
So, very pointed questions.
Yes.
This is actually from a book called The Book of Questions, as a matter of fact.
The Book of Questions.
It was a number one New York Times bestseller, over 1 million in print.
In what year, like 1982 or something?
No. This book was done, I'll tell you when it was done. It was actually done in 1985 and then redone in 1987.
Yeah, I was pretty close.
Not bad. Okay? I'm randomly, I flagged a couple.
What is it? Questions about like Kajagoogoo and crap from the 80s?
No.
Rubik's Cube.
No,
Madonna.
The questions to make you think.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, here we go. I'm ready.
This is good.
Okay, here we go.
So here it is, Frank.
Yes.
The question is this, I put to you, Mr. Nora.
Yes.
Can you dial the music down a little bit? Bring it down. Okay, good. Would you be willing to become extremely ugly physically if it meant you would live for 1,000 years at any physical age you choose? I guess I already answered that question. Okay, moving on.
Now, wait a second.
What are you, about 980 years old? Methuselah, Frank Nora, and Methuselah.
All right.
What do Frank Nora and Methuselah have in common? All right. That was a bad question. Come on. I have another one for you. Okay?
All right, here we go. The next question.
Next question to you.
Yes.
Mr. Nora, someone very close to you is in pain, paralyzed, and will die within a month.
Okay.
He begs you to give him poison so he can die.
Yes.
Would you? Poison to die.
It's very close to you.
In pain. He's paralyzed. He'll die within a month, but he begs you. Poison me, please.
Would you let me videotape it and put it on the show?
Yes.
I'll put it on YouTube.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
I say yes. I'll give him the poison.
But what if it were your father? I say yes.
Yes.
I say yes.
Yes.
Very good. Excellent.
Here we go. Another question.
Another question.
All right. Here we go. Here we go. Another question.
All right. This is a little rougher question we have for you. Actually, I should mark these questions as we go through here. I don't want to repeat the questions because this will be something we're going to be doing.
Are these copyrighted questions or is this like?
I don't know what they are. You know, so
public domain.
The public domain questions.
I know. 85 was a long time ago. 1885? No.
Yeah. So okay. Here you go.
Yes.
You have the power to go any distance into the future and, after 1 year, return to the present with any knowledge you have gained from your experience but with no physical objects. Would you make the journey if it carried a 50% risk of death?
Let me think about this.
Okay. You have the power to go any distance into the future, but after 1 year, you return to the present with any knowledge you have gained from your experience but with no physical objects. Would you make the journey if it carried a 50% risk of death?
I think it'd be worth it, yeah.
You would do that?
That is, if we didn't have our own, array of time machines sitting in the studio here. Yes, I would definitely do it. But, of course, we have ways of going to the future that only carry a 3 to 4% risk of death per time. Not
50%. This is very archaic, this book.
I know. Get out of here.
Sorry about that.
Time travel technology has increased a lot since 85. But get out of here.
Get out of here.
All right. We have any more?
Here we go. One more question.
Really?
Very pointed question. One more for today.
All right.
The question is,
yes.
Can you urinate in front of another person? Can you urinate in front of another person?
See, that's kind of an interesting question because, seriously, there are some people who can't urinate at public urinals, right?
Why is that?
Because they call it shy bladder, right? Shy bladder syndrome.
No.
I'm not kidding. This is true. There is a shy bladder syndrome. And
bladder syndrome.
People are not able to urinate in public. Now, I have to admit that, most of the time I'm okay because I'm always going to public urinals, of course, in New York City. And most of the places are nice now and they've actually put up the barriers between the urinals because
the barriers.
Because there's a
you
problem.
You must love our bathroom because it's got the beautiful barriers and closed stalls.
Yes, because I've actually seen this even recently in New York City, even with the barriers, these individuals. Two guys will go in there, and what will they do? And they will start masturbating, looking at each other.
What?
Whoa, they do this in public.
Back up.
I just saw this.
No, go back up.
Yeah.
I was not paying attention to what you were saying there. Yeah. What happens now?
In New York City, in the public restrooms, in in Grand Central Terminal or in the Penn Station, you see these guys, even with the barriers, they will start masturbating. And looking at each other's penises to help them masturbate. And they do it blatantly.
What guys do this?
You see it every so often. You see this going on. They're doing it. They're like so demented. They're doing it in front of everyone. And they don't even care. Literally about a week ago, I was in the bathroom in the Port Authority bus terminal. And there's a guy craning his neck over the barriers to look at the other guy's penises. It was horrendous, and this happens a lot.
Well, the guys are just jerking off.
Yeah, that's why they put the barriers up in the first place, because of all those people. You know, so they don't just look over, because it's very uncomfortable if you're not into that kind of thing.
I would say so.
And
your sister's ass.
Listen, these guys are not interested in any sister's ass, okay?
I went over for a blowjob. The bomb concession at the Eiffel Tower.
Well, in any case, sometimes, in upstairs at the Port Authority bus terminal, there's barriers. Downstairs, there's not. So it can be a challenge sometimes in a place like that where I know that kind of crap's going on. Occasionally, I have trouble urinating at the urinal there, very occasionally. But you get your mind into a certain zone, and you can do it. But the barriers definitely help. So there's my answer to your question.
The question is...
I can urinate! Can do it.
I think that means can you urinate in front of a person? Like, in other words, if like you were standing in the bathroom, like, and you're
just standing there, like,
and your wife's standing there or something like that, or like someone else that you know is standing there, like a friend that's like, it's like, you know, not like a public place. That's not really urinating in front of somebody else. I'm talking about
I don't know. I think I'd have a hard time.
I figured that would be the case. All right.
Why? Well, you have a great time urinating in front of other people?
No, I do
all
not.
Time?
I don't do that. I'm not a proponent of urinating in front of the people.
No.
I don't do that. But anyway, that has been tonight the first episode of
Answer Me This, Mr. Nora.
Answer Me This.
This is a perfect theme song, right?
It's really good, actually. Answer Me This, Mr. Nora. Oh, so we got to that today. I was very happy about that.
Wow. All right. No, we still have a few minutes left on the show.
We have a lot. What are we going to... Any more Weekly World Perceptions? How about Weekly World Perceptions and Ponderings? We haven't done that in a long time.
Sounds good.
Okay. I left off a while back about that, and we hadn't got to any more of that stuff, so... Actually, you know what I wanted to tell you? You know, I mean, Weekly World Perceptions and Ponderings are great, but, you know...
Yeah.
Oh, let's do that. You know, I really want to work on the Indio Monday show official list. You know, I really want to do that. You know, work on the official. What are you doing now?
This is the Weekly World Perceptions and Ponderings.
This is? Did we actually use this movie before? This is good.
I don't know.
Weekly World Perceptions and Ponderings with your host, Mad Mike Masters. How's that work? Sounds good.
Yeah.
Weekly World Perceptions and Ponderings with your host, Mad Mike Masters.
Yes.
Maron, whatever. All right.
Now, can we keep the music down a little bit as sort of the band?
Yeah, a little background,
this?
Okay.
Yeah, come on.
Let me down a little background, okay?
Now, should I do the buzzers on this one or not?
Well, you can. Well, no, this is not. This is just thoughts. I mean, I want to get your feedback on this. Okay.
All right. No buzzers on this.
Let's start with this. No. Let's start at the top. Ever wonder why it's called a teaspoon? Who did it taunt?
Huh?
A teaspoon. Why is it called a teaspoon? Is it teasing a teaspoon? Is it has something to do with teasing anybody?
Yeah, a teaspoon.
It's a teaspoon.
Yeah.
You tease. Okay, Ernie. Ever wonder why the people from the Netherlands are synonymous with trouble, i.e. the getting into Dutch? what is with that? Can Rule from the Netherlands clear that up? What is getting into Dutch?
Hold on. Where's Rule?
Can we clear that up or what? What are you trying to do with Rule?
Groene, grijpgrage griezel.
There you go.
Yeah, getting into Dutch. I don't get with that. You know, Friendly's restaurants are still around. Ever wonder how Friendly's somehow managed to include ice cream in every dish in some way?
Exactly.
Like you order scrambled eggs in the morning, there's ice cream in the eggs.
Exactly.
What ice cream would you like with those eggs? You know, it's like everything's got ice cream in it, no matter what it is, right?
That place is nasty.
Okay. Ever wonder about these women who use makeup to draw on their eyebrows and give an extra set of lips? You know, the women, they don't have any eyebrows anymore, they draw their eyebrows in, or they draw an extra set of lips around their other lips. Who finds this attractive?
You can actually get those tattooed on now.
What? Yeah, I know that.
Yeah.
I know that.
They don't look realistic, though. What? They have to wait till they get holographic eyebrows, then it would look really... three dimensions.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Ever wonder what's the opposite of the naked eye? Is it the fully clothed eye?
That's a damn good question.
What exactly is the opposite of the naked eye? ever wonder what happened to the female box? Right? There was a male box.
Yeah.
What happened to the female box? Actually, I think I just stumbled onto something. Female box, get it?
It's a bit redundant.
Never mind.
Bit redundant.
This is very important.
Yeah.
Ever wonder why we let a half-assed nation like North Korea become so powerful? What were we doing? Were we sleeping on the job?
I don't know what happened over there.
We let a half-assed nation like North Korea become so powerful. How?
It was the Illuminati. Illuminati.
Okay. Ever notice how that communism only works in countries where there's a pleasant climate and lots of beaches? You ever notice that one?
How about Russia?
But that doesn't work there.
Oh, that's right. It failed there.
It only works in countries where there's a pleasant climate and lots of beaches, like Cuba.
Korea and...
Whenever there's a beach, you know.
What are the other communist countries in the world?
I don't know. There's not many left. Albania? Is Albania still communist?
They're all messed up.
How about Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia? Malaysia's communist,
right?
No,
that's a public democracy or something.
Is that what it is?
I don't know.
ever notice how we arbitrarily assign the familial title of aunt or uncle to friends of your parents who usually turn out to be weirdos or pedophiles? Everyone has an Uncle Bob's over. Uncle John. He's not your uncle. He's like your parents' friend. You know, right? Oh, say hello to Aunt Teddy. I'm like, who's Aunt Teddy? He's not my aunt. You know? We just arbitrarily assign these familial titles.
Just call him pedo.
You know, right? Weirdos are pedophiles.
Pedo Bob. Yeah.
Ever wonder why it's virtually mandatory to have a woman do the traffic report on the radio? As if it makes it somehow more calming while you're driving. You ever hear? It's always a woman doing these reports after hours, you know?
So
you don't go and snap. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Ever notice how painful it is to be lowered feet first into a brush chipper machine?
Yes, that is quite painful.
Can you imagine that, man? That's like the worst. Ooh. Can you picture that thing, man? That thing makes so much. Just the noise that alone would freak you out.
God.
I mean, that was in that zombie movie.
Which one?
The one we just learned tonight.
What, oh, yeah. That? Like a wood chipper?
Yeah. Was that in there?
That was your friend in the wood chipper.
Whatever wonder what happened? I don't know if I did I talk about it. Whatever wonder, I don't know if I ever mentioned this before. Ever wonder what happened to the Marathon bar? Was it vanquished with President Reagan's 1980 ban on all double entendre candies?
Yeah, I think. I don't know if we mentioned that, but I mean, it's
a Marathon bar. It's like a double entendre candy.
Yeah,
you know, it's a marathon, right? It takes so long to eat it. It's a marathon because it's like so long.
Yeah,
right. But I don't understand what happened to that. But I remember, that used to be a huge candy bar, right?
Marathon was one of the biggest things. I don't know why they stopped making it, and it is currently a very similar candy called Curly Whirly is available in the United Kingdom. They may want to go there and get that.
Okay, well, ever wonder why it's politically incorrect to have a white person wear blackface, but it was perfectly acceptable to make an Asian out of David Carradine for Kung Fu?
That's true.
I mean, what the hell was with that? You know, that's, yeah. Like, that's outrageous. It's almost as bad as Rosie O'Donnell. Doing the ching chong thing
yeah.
On whatever it may be, you know, but it's totally all put blackface on somebody. It's an uproar. But
wasn't he like a white guy?
No, he's supposed to be. He was playing an Asian guy.
He was Chinese.
He was playing a Chinese guy for Kung Fu. Okay,
they used to get away with that back in the '70s and earlier.
I don't know
Charlie Chan and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Ever noticed that no board game in history has ever utilized magnets to such creativity? Devastating effect as the Bermuda Triangle game.
That was a great game.
And ever come to think of it, whatever happened to the Bermuda Triangle anyway? What happened to the Bermuda Triangle?
It's very weak these days.
Is it now defunct? We're not losing it. Nothing ever disappears there anymore. Just refugees get lost there now.
I have not heard a single. You know, I always
whole
go
squadrons
on,
of planes and ships disappear, but there's no more Bermuda Triangle anymore.
No, it's inert. No, I go on all the conspiracy websites all the time. No one says anything about that. It's done.
Yeah,
it's
what done. Happened? It was a big hoax, right?
I don't know. People disappeared in there.
Yeah. No other board game in history has ever utilized magnets to such creatively devastating effect. The Bermuda Triangle game. Remember the Bermuda Triangle game?
You had like a cloud.
It was a rogue cloud with magnets underneath that went around. Your ships had magnets on top, and it rotated the cloud and like it'd suck them up as you went around. You know, and you heard that little click as your ship was sucked up by the Bermuda Triangle.
There was like random magnets inside. Yeah.
And it was a great thing. But you know, and you had to go around and collect different things up, like oil or sugar at different ports. And meanwhile, you know, the Dodge, the Bermuda Triangle that was going around the board. What a great fun we had back in board games back in the day.
You played this very upset shipping guy. Oh, here's a picture of it. Wow.
Where the Bermuda Triangle game is. Yeah.
There you go.
Let's see.
Here it is. The Bermuda Triangle game.
There it is.
There's the cloud.
We have to get a copy of that.
Oh, look at that.
We have to get a copy of that game. Look at that.
Maybe it's on eBay. You want to buy it right now?
Yeah. By Milton Bradley.
Milton Bradley, the long defunct. They've been bought by Hasbro like everyone else.
I remember playing Bermuda Triangle. Here's a totally obscure reference.
Yeah.
I remember camping out in a tent with my friend Rich, the other guy, the kid I always got in trouble with, the house full of animals.
Yeah.
Okay, out in his woods, you know, with a tent, you know, playing the Bermuda Triangle game in his tent in the middle of the woods, you know.
Hey, look at this. It's cheap.
And that was the same
1976. Wow.
1976. I was 10 when that game came out.
Look at this. Look at this. There it is. A brand new one for only $5.99.
There's one bid on there already.
We'll do a whole show where we play a complete game of
Bermuda Triangle.
That's really cool.
We must bid. All right?
Yeah.
Please bid on. We must win.
Note, buy Bermuda Triangle game.
Note to self, purchase Bermuda Triangle game.
Bermuda Triangle.
And that has been some Weekly World Perceptions and Ponderings for you today. Oh, what a show tonight. What a show.
Oh, this is jam-packed. Jam-packed episode.
There's more shit happening out here that I have no idea.
Oh, wow.
Unbelievable. This show's been great. How much more time we got left? We got a lot of time?
We have 12 or so minutes. Okay.
Well, we have to really work on our official list. I really want to get this up on the site. You know, put it on our list of time to get to one in a while. I really want to get to one of these days. We have an official list. The things that Frank and I have officially say are the official products, objects, whatever, of the Anything on Monday show.
Yeah.
For instance, our official water is Fiji.
Yeah.
The official water. Our official coffee is Starbucks. Our official jelly is KY. Our official scapegoat is Dave Crump, our program director.
Yeah.
We do need an official cigar. Do you want to fill one in right there? What would our official cigar be?
Oh, gosh. That's a tough one. There's so many cigars out there.
Dutch Masters.
No. There's something good. Something good.
Well, our official college is university. We need an official bodily expulsion. If you have one of those.
I'd say Padron is a good cigar.
What, Padron?
Yeah.
All right. We'll put Padron in.
No, acid. Acid. Sorry. Take that out. Acid cigar. Acid.
Acid cigar?
Yeah. Acid is good.
Okay. Good. We need an official bodily expulsion, Frank. What would be official bodily expulsion? What would be a good official?
How about bloody mucus?
Bloody mucus.
That's always a good one.
I love bloody mucus.
Yes.
That bloody mucus. Now, official. The official malady? What would be the official malady of the
money show? You want to use that BID thing? That was horrible.
What was it?
We need more time to talk about that.
We have to say that in front of the show. The official general body part is the medulla oblongata.
Yes.
The official pen? We don't have an official pen yet. The official decade, the official alien. We don't have any of those yet.
The 1612s or something. I don't know.
No, the 1600s.
Like what, were the 1610s that much different than the 1620s? I mean,
the decades. We should look up what happened, what was going on in the 1620s to make sure it was a good decade. The official nationality is Italian, of course.
Yeah.
The official shit list has many people on the official shit list. We've already mentioned Oprah many times before. Anyone on The View. Britney Spears, we haven't talked about in a while, because hopefully your 50 Minutes fame is fading. Michael Jackson, George W. Bush, Paris Hilton, Lindsay Lohan, the Olsen twins, especially the really screwed up one and skinny one. Those are people that we all say are basically some of our, our official shit list. There'll be others. What is our official 80s girl band? Bananarama?
Oh, they're good. Bananarama is good, yeah.
Bananarama?
Gotta be Bananarama.
Bananarama. Yeah. Anybody know Bananarama sings? Okay, Frank, play a Bananarama song up there.
Okay, hold on.
So people can do, I can think of the song right now. I can think of, they actually did a remake of that. One of my favorite 60s songs by Shocking Blue called Venus.
Yeah, but this is my favorite song by them. It's gonna be. Hold on. This is actually one of my favorite songs ever.
Cruel Summer.
This is a great song. Look at the video.
Look at these chicks.
Oh my God.
Talk about 80s, man.
They were very 80s. Oh, this is actually a really good song. I'm totally serious.
Where's this group from?
They look English.
Yeah, because it was $1.48 for gas.
Really? Not pounds? Oh, they're in New York. Look at that. They're wearing
overalls and. And horrible, like baggy pants.
Oh, I definitely agree with this. They're definitely very cool.
Yeah, they're very hip.
Maybe we can get them on the show because they're
Can we get Bananarama on the show?
Probably because they're not probably not that famous anymore.
Leering seductively at black men as they walk by.
Yeah.
They wear like mechanics outfits. You know,
it was a different time back then. See, back then girls didn't have to dress up in all bikinis and stuff. They just wear like overalls. It was fine.
Half these girls trying to be Madonna. They're like Madonna clones. And of course, horrible dubbing. They're not even close to their lip syncing. They're lip syncing.
They're fixing a car now.
Yeah. And now the rogue tractor trailer truck plowing down the street.
This is the plot.
This is the plot.
It's going to smash into their car.
They're doing a lot of stair calling.
A payphone.
You see that?
That really is from the 80s. All right.
So that was actually Bananarama.
Wow. I really want to see this whole video. All right.
Who would the official gay guy be of the Anything Monday show? Who's the official gay guy?
Charles Nelson Reilly. He's my favorite.
Okay, Charles Nelson. Charles.
You know, I have to admit, I actually tried to get him as a guest on my show. Of course, he never wrote back, but I actually mailed him something. I really wanted him on my show, but he never.
Nelson Reilly.
Yeah.
We got to get, all right, that's our goal. We have to get Bananarama and Charles Nelson Reilly. Now, talk about Nick Clayton.
Now, he's a guy everyone thought was dead. He's still alive. They made a movie about him recently.
They did?
Yeah.
I love
Match Game.
Eric Baldwin's. I mean, well, not Eric Baldwin's. Alec Baldwin's impersonation of him.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
He did. They did a spoof of Inside the Actor Studio.
Yeah,
you know, like, who does that? Is that Will Ferrell?
Yeah,
and they actually was him. You can find that. It was like Alec Baldwin playing Charles and Riley inside the Actor Studio. It was very funny. Very well done, Skip. You can find that.
Well, here he is on the Match Game.
Thing, right? What do you say?
You're a big disappointment to me, David. Jeepers, crow, criminy.
Where's
judge.
Charles Nelson Reilly?
Propellers? I said tables and chairs.
That's like What's your face? It's Jack Klugman's wife.
Yeah, Charles.
I remember the days you used to walk over here. Table.
Tables.
I know you closed in a play last night and you had a big success. But
how?
Something happens to a panelist that the MC refuses to walk near.
That guy's awesome.
You're going to make it down.
All right, Charles, here's what we're going to do. I'm tired today. I admit that freely and candidly.
Are they going to
so
fight?
You just get down here. Take this.
I don't know how to do this.
You get down
yes,
here.
Yes, you do.
I've heard you get snotty enough already. Take that.
Oh, he's kicking his ass. I never saw
now.
This part.
And he's go over there and ask Ava Gabor what her answer
Ava
is.
Ava Gabor.
Ava Gabor.
Hello, sweetheart.
Hello, darling.
Oh, there's a fly. What MC is that? Oh, there's a fly.
Madcap hijinks on this show.
What is your answer?
Wow.
Thankfully, Ava, Ava fared a lot better than her sister Zsa Zsa.
Yeah.
The poor 90-year-old invalid. this is great. Right from that great Parade magazine. What does Zsa Zsa Gabor make of the claims of my husband number 9? You know,
you have an article about her?
Yeah, this is an actual story.
That's really...
It's under the section called Personality Parade. Walter Scott's Personality Parade. Question, what does Zsa Zsa Gabor make of the claims of husband number 9, Frederick von Anhalt, who claims to be just 59, that he may have fathered the late M. Nicole Smith's baby girl?
Oh, yeah. I remember hearing about
Rachel this. Rachel Howard. The answer, Zsa Zsa has taken the high road and won't comment on this most embarrassing time in her marriage. She's 90.
Oh, God.
In front of the 90-year-old star. She hasn't been seen in public in 2 years, perhaps because she's dead. It was very painful to listen to Frederick's press conference held in her own driveway.
What?
In which he told the world that he's an adulterer.
How
fucked up for people that like, the woman's decrepit and dying and her 9th husband in her house. Meanwhile, this idiot's in her driveway. I don't want to comment, but I actually may be the father of Anna Nicole Smith's daughter. Wouldn't that make you an adulterer? You know, blatantly like breaking a law. It was just breaking the law, you know. He's like having a press conference in a driveway. What kind of scumbag
it's just,
are you?
All that is the elite of the world distracting us while they're taking more of our freedoms away with stupid crap like Anna Nicole Smith.
Did you find Alec Baldwin playing?
Hold on.
Charles Durant on SNL. It was funny. I mean, I'm not a big fan of SNL anymore. The whole show is shit. But the thing when it was he inside the actor studio was very very well done.
Let's see.
Just to go on with the list of things we have officials of.
Wait, who was it? Alec Baldwin?
Alec Baldwin on SNL doing playing Charles Nelson Reilly.
Actor studio?
Yeah, inside the actor studio. Right, that's the name of the show, right?
Yeah.
All right. Our official.
Not coming up.
Oh, too bad. Too bad. It's really good. If you can find it, it would be good to know.
Yeah.
The official plastic surgery, Frank, is rhinoplasty.
Really?
And the official snack cake would be what?
Wait. Dolly Madison snack cakes from those old Snoopy cartoons.
I want to see Butterscotch Crimpets, man, because I used to love those.
Yeah, those are good.
We put them as... Ooh.
Oh.
Look at that.
The
time
ending
flies.
Credits. Wow. That means we're near the end of the show.
Yeah. Hey, look at this. It's 2... I just realized. Guess what time it is?
2:47 a.m.
Yeah.
Great.
Perfect.
Always doing this show in the middle of the night, of course. But it's a Saturday
and
night.
I want to go on a record that when we look back on these shows,
yeah,
we become like multimillionaires and we're very famous as these pioneers that we are.
Yeah,
then we'll look back and we'll reminisce about these fun times in this.
Oh yeah,
studio, our secret hideaway here, and go,
our
this
secret
is,
hideaway.
This is what we went through to make this show work.
Yes,
and yeah,
it's not as hard. The 2:48 is not as hard when you've had doing the whole day of work in New York City, then coming home and doing it the 3 o'clock in the morning. That's much worse. But this is not too bad. I'm still awake. I had those vitamins, you know.
Yeah, well, I need to blaze out of here. I need to go home and be in bed. But let's see if I get to bed by 3:30 in the morning if I'm lucky. You know, I got to get up like the latest I can get up is like.
Are you kidding? I got to catch up on Idol. I'll be staying up till like 5 watching Idol.
I got Idol all.
I didn't see
last week's results.
I know the results. It was
Yeah.
Stephanie Edwards, right?
Yeah. Another great
I know my idol. Come on.
Another great pick. Well, a lot of great people have helped us in the show, Frank. And the credits are rolling by here. And
yeah, we're sitting here in a theater as the
credits
are rolling.
And the show could not be possible if a lot of these people did not help us get the show out.
As you know, this show may sound simple to put together. You know, we have microphones and a recording computer and a mixer, but it's not as simple as that.
Yeah.
And as we go to this part 2 of the music. There's a bunch of people. I mean, you know, of course, all the people who, you know, repave the sidewalks and parking lots every night after we destroy them. You don't know that, but after we leave the studio, we ride around on these, like, dirt bikes with, like, spiked wheels and destroy everything.
So really?
They have to repave it.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things. But also, I know that when we first started here, we had a big problem. With furniture.
Yep.
So of course we hired him actually, I think around the second show.
Yeah.
Sonny Marbell. Yeah, he's the furniture anomaly neutralizer. Because we had some serious problems with furniture.
Yeah.
I think you bought the furniture for this place from some sort of haunted furniture store or from like the Indian graveyard, whatever it came from.
You figured that out, huh?
Yeah, we had an ottoman that was.
I actually got the furniture from Northgate.
Really? Yeah, that's what I thought. We had like ottomans that were like possessed by evil clerics and
right.
Couches that were, you know, like spouting purple flames.
So what did he do?
No, he's a furniture anomaly neutralizer. So for every furniture anomaly, such as an end table, we have an end table that's shrinking at the rate of 1 inch per year. And he was able to neutralize that. Just think about it. In 10 years, the thing would be 10 inches shorter, right? We have all these different furniture anomalies, right? I mean, we have...
Any other ones?
We have a shelf that is actually a Canadian goose. It looks just like a shelf, but it really is a Canadian goose. He neutralized it and turned it back into a shelf. Like, what were some of the furniture anomalies that you observed that Sonny actually was able to fix? He has, like, a whole bag of tricks. You know, like the old doctors that came with,
right.
You know, like the home whatever.
Right.
Home service. What do they call that? Home... Visits.
Yeah.
That little bag. He has a bag of tricks to
make house calls.
Yeah, so he's a furniture anomaly neutralizer.
Right.
So
I haven't noticed any now. I haven't been looking. Not to say it, you know.
Yeah.
I was kind of wondering why, you know, why my desk was undulating.
Yes, the undulating desk.
I thought it was like, you know, kind of a cool thing, but I didn't know it was supposed to undulate.
Well, Sonny didn't know that was a phase 3 undulation because he had the tools for the phase 2 undulation. Right. So he is coming back next week to neutralize that furniture anomaly.
Great. Well, I'm glad about that.
He's been doing a great job.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Even though he only has 6 years experience in the furniture anomaly neutralizing business,
we thought we'd give him a shot. We give him a shot. And he's come through for us.
So go to Sonny Marbell Furniture Anomaly Neutralizing .org. .com was already taken. So there you go. Coming to the end of the show now.
Well,
any final thoughts?
Well, thanks for listening, and come visit us at PodCamp. And if you're in NYC, find out about it. Go to PodCamp.org.
PodCampNYC.org. 10 seconds. Final thoughts.
Final thoughts. Great show.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.